This is episode number 29 of the Interactive Distractions Podcast for the week of June 9th, 2008. It's time for me to coming up on this week's episode, we've got our current distractions, gaming news. For our feature this week, we try and decide what the right length for a game is. New releases, listener email, and the sneaky question of the week.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions. You're welcome. My name is Christopher Riccio and I'm here with Jason A. Stryker.
Hello.
And Jeff Chorney.
How's it going?
Who's back with us after being after his adventure to the PS Nation podcast last week. How'd that go, man?
Yay! It was fun.
Yeah.
It was different. It was pretty cool. It went pretty smoothly. And Glenn's a cool guy, so it was constantly like laughing, jokes back and forth. It's good times. Got to rip apart a certain voicemail. If you guys haven't listened to it, some 360 fanboy guy called in and made an ass of himself. So that was fun.
Pretty much, yeah. So did you get the job or what?
Yeah, I haven't told you guys yet, but I'm leaving. No, I'm kidding. This is my home.
Your home away from home. This is your radio home.
That's right.
Yeah. It's. Did you see that the dude that called in actually signed up for VG Evo?
He did. Oh, man. He posted a few times on the site.
Yeah.
It was just funny because, like, they sounded like cool guys afterwards, but just the way they went about it was kind of tactless. That's like a
tactless
word. But
yeah.
They could have went about, like, they just wanted to kind of help with what they were doing because they're just new starting up. And of course, we're all decent people, like, over VG Evo. So we would have just helped out if they just kind of asked, but they kind of went about it the wrong way.
It was like a childish prank, really. Something that I would have done when I was like 12 or something.
Exactly. they asked for a little bit of help and I threw up a post up there with like, you know, what we kind of do and what we did at the start with, you know, using Audacity and, the headsets and stuff like that. So, they said they were going to, you know, try and do stuff like that. So we'll see if they take our advice and, you know, improve their podcast.
I didn't post my advice, and that was just stop.
Well, I mean, Jeff, did you listen to their podcast?
No, I wasn't going to give them the hit. That's what they wanted.
I know it's what they wanted, but I had to, after hearing like that voicemail, I had to go and listen to it. It really does sound like they're on walkie-talkies, for one.
Yeah.
And at the point I shut it off is when one of them was talking about the 360 compared to the PS3 and literally said, our system's better than yours. And I was like, I'm done. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm done. Yeah. That was bad. You know, even if you do prefer the 360, you don't say shit like that on a podcast that you consider a gaming podcast, you know, so.
Yeah.
Right.
Whatever.
And I'm only like half kidding about the just stop business, but. Yeah, the whole fanboy was just like, it was all over the place.
Yeah, it was over the top.
Credibility goes out the window, right? So.
Yeah. Anyway, Jason, what's up with you, man?
Not much, man. I had a really, really busy weekend, and because of it, all my projects are like behind a schedule, which sucks. But the weekend was fun. It was my wife's birthday, and we went out and got to see a show. We went and saw Sweeney Todd, which is really cool because it was a musical and not just a movie. We also hit up like Renfest and we were dorks there. And I think I got a couple of pictures of Shino in his Renaissance outfit, but
not all of it though. I actually forgot my hat. So
with the feather sticking out of it.
With the feather sticking out. That's right. The red and black feather.
Yeah. Hot.
But you know, as Jason said, I was also at Renfest cause, his wife and my fiance actually share a birthday. Both of their birthdays are on June 2nd.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what we do every year for Crystal is we go to Ren Faire. And, this weekend happened to be the last weekend. So we made a trip out of it and we were there most of the day. And then afterwards we came back and went out to dinner at like a really cool barbecue place.
Oh,
God. And, God, what the hell was the name of it? I can't. Famous Dave's. Thank you.
Famous Dave's.
They don't have that kind of thing here in Toronto, like a barbecue type restaurant. At least not that I know of.
Well, when you
come down. I
remember
going to this really awesome one in Iowa once.
When you come down for AWA, we'll take you to Famous Dave's.
Cool. I'm in.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Let's see. Other than that, I don't know, man. I mean, it's been birthday stuff. You know, it was like a 3-day long birthday extravaganza. The girl doesn't get one day. She gets three, apparently.
So. Well, yeah. It's all about her, man.
Yep.
How long do you get for your birthday?
Like 2 hours.
Yeah, I got to go see a movie. Yeah.
Can you stop playing your new video game?
I turned 30
now?
And we went to eat pizza and go see Ninja Turtles. It's like, I don't get a weekend. What the hell?
Cool. Well, yeah, this is episode 29.
It is.
And we actually, we just hit a milestone with the last episode. And I'm not talking about the length. I'm talking about a milestone with number of listeners. And I'm not going to talk about how many listeners we have because I don't think it's proper to do so on the podcast. But we did hit a milestone for us. And I wanted to thank everybody who listens to us on a regular basis. You guys are great and you're why we do it. And the emails that we get are fantastic and I love it. So
you guys are awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for listening and keep it up. Keep the voicemails coming. Keep the emails coming. And you know, we love hearing that the stuff that you guys have input on, and we love talking about the stuff that you guys send in. So,
I raised my glass to you. I mean, absolutely. I was raised already, but
you know, I will raise my beer to you. There we go. Well, cool. Let's jump right in then.
Wait, I want to see how Jeff's doing.
We already did me.
Yeah,
did we?
Yeah, we talked about the PS Nation. Yeah, you know, if we turn around and say, Jeff, how you what's going on? He's like, not much. Doing all right.
All we heard about is his job interview over at PS Nation. Jeff, did he have a good day today?
I actually did have a good day. Work's okay. How's your mom? It's kind of busy summer. My mom's doing great, actually. Spoke to her the other day.
How's Chuck's mom?
Yeah, doing all right. Oh, it's terrible. I sent my invoice over to her like a month ago, so I haven't got paid.
Nice.
I've got like actually, electronic guys, transfers set up with her, so I don't even worry about the invoicing.
I know you guys are excited, but Stanley Cup playoffs ended yesterday. Detroit won.
Detroit Red Wings.
That's right.
Way to go. Six games, right? That was pretty cool.
That's right, in six. I want to see it go seven just because it makes it more exciting, but hey, it's over. And it's good because now I can spend all my time watching the NBA Finals. So,
cool.
Word up. Go Celtics.
I'd much rather have a seventh game. Sorry. Anyway, so now we can jump into it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't
cool.
done yet. Now I'm done.
Okay, cool. Well, Jeff, I wasn't really keep talking about your distractions.
Sorry. That's true.
But go ahead. We'll start with you today. We'll do something different.
Yay.
We'll change it up.
I feel special. Okay. What did I start with? Okay. I was going to start with a nice PSP story because I haven't played my PSP in a while. So I decided to bust out John Dark again, because that was the game. If you guys remember, I couldn't get past a certain mission, and I got frustrated and never played the game again. So it's probably a few months ago, probably. Mm-hmm. So you know how when you don't play a game for a while, and then you come back to it, and you end up beating the part you couldn't beat that you tried for hours and hours before, but all of a sudden you can beat it with ease? You know, yeah, okay. Sometimes that happens. Yeah, so I figured, you know what, I'm going to give it a try. I'm sitting at home waiting for my roommate to get home, because we're going to go out for a bit to the bar across the street. So I was like, all right, I'm going to kill some time, have it 45 minutes. I'm going to give another go with this mission. So start it up, start playing. And I figure I'm going to take this mission, different kind of strategy than I usually did. Instead of just running all my soldiers right up the middle of the battlefield and getting slaughtered, I'm like, I'm going to go the slow way and take it around the side. Because the problem with this mission was there's way too many archers, and I only have one dude who has a bow and arrow and a couple characters that have like fireball spells. So my long range sucks ass. So I usually die before I even get close to the end of the mission. So anyway, doing really well. I get down to, I think they killed off two of my guys, and I have one of theirs left. So it's basically like four on one. So, and then I get this notice saying, you have two moves left. I'm like, oh shit, that's not good. So I use all my moves to attack the one guy. He's the strongest guy at the end. He's like the general or something. So I'm doing all right. Hit him a bunch of times. Goes back down. Goes like, you have one turn left. So I'm like, this is my last turn. He's got 15 hit points left. This is it. I'm finally going to pass this mission. So my first two guys can't get at him because he's kind of like by this wall, so I couldn't get my guys around. So basically I only had two guys that could attack him, my archer and my guy who was like right in front of him. So my archer went first, shot an arrow, missed. I was like, no problem. I still have my main dude who is right in front of him, striking range, going to hit him. He's got 15 hit points left. I got this. So I select attack. I'm like, sweet, finally get to move on in this game. I'm back interested in it. And he counters it. And then game over. Because I didn't beat the mission in 15 moves like you're supposed to.
Oh, shit.
And, yeah. anger ensues, and I almost throw my PSP through my wall. That's how pissed I was. Because, mind you, this took like a long time, because I was actually really strategically trying to think of shit. It took like 40 minutes or so, or probably half an hour. And then I have to do it all over again, because I didn't do it in 15 moves. Yeah.
Shit.
So that was my fun with my PSP. So then, of course, I didn't play anything else. Actually, no, I tried to play Crisis Core after that, and then I started up. I'm like, I don't even know what the hell I'm supposed to do right now. So I turned it right off, like, instantly, pretty much, because I couldn't remember where to go.
And this is why Jeff never gets anything in his backlog completed.
Yeah. That's so true.
Well, this is also another reason why you need this in RPGs, where you've got some way to get you like a quick little recap or some of this you can talk to say, hey, do you remember how we were doing this? Let's go do that.
Yeah. Well, I know what I'm supposed to do. I just don't know how to get there. And I didn't have the patience to look around everywhere and go to all the places and be like, okay, this is where I have to be. And it would be nice to have like a little marker or something.
Mm-hmm.
But no. So, yeah, you guys listened to the show, the PS Nation, last week. I picked up DS, Ninja Gaiden, Dragon Sword.
Mm-hmm.
Played a little bit more of that. It's fun. I know Shino, you played Shino. I'm calling you Shino, Chris.
nice.
It's been too long. Only forum talk. But I don't know if you still like it, but I'm kind of got bored with it really fast.
Yeah, I kind of did too. I got to the first boss, the big dragon, and you know. And I was just like, yeah, this is kind of fun, but, blah.
Yeah. It just, I don't know. I just didn't like controlling it with the stylus, and I was just found it really just repetitive. And I know Ninja Gaiden is repetitive in the first place, but on the console, it seems a lot more fun. So I don't know if I'm going to go back to that. I might actually trade it back in or see if I can sell it, because I can't see myself playing through it. Still playing through the Metal Gear Solid trilogy. I completed the first one. Now I'm working on the second one. I'm probably about two-thirds of the way through it. It's a lot better than I remember it being, actually, because I remember not quite liking two, but actually enjoying it quite a bit. And Raiden is not much of a whiny bitch as I remember him being.
Yeah, that was everybody's problem. It was like that Raiden, everybody's big problem was Raiden. And I'm like, I don't really have a big issue with him.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys played the game all the way through?
Yes.
Yeah. He gets to be a real whiny bitch later on. Just
so. Yeah. Well, I played it through all the way through when it first was released. Okay. But that was a long time ago. Like, going back now, I'm actually following the storyline now. And I think back then I was either just wasn't paying attention or, just too young to even. Mm-hmm. Sure, I don't know. I just didn't really follow, but now I'm actually like, yeah, it's a kind of cool storyline.
Yeah,
not bad. I also picked up Beyond Good and Evil again last week.
Good.
Yeah, because we're talking about Beyond Good and Evil 2 was announced, and I was all excited, so I'm like, I'm going to give that a try. So I started playing that, and that game is still a lot of fun. That still holds up big time.
I've been looking for it used, actually, all day today.
Oh, really?
I really want to play this. Yeah, I think GameStop has it for like $8, PlayStation 2. I'm unsure which version I should get. I should go with a PC or, PS2 or GameCube or Xbox.
I actually bought it for Xbox and PS2 because I bought it on Xbox. I wasn't sure if it was on backwards compatibility or not. And it was like the PS2 version was $299 or $399. So I'm like, if worst comes to worst, it's not backwards compatible, I'll just pick up the PS2 one as well. So I have both of them, so I can always send you one if you want.
They've got it on Steam now, too, for like $10, and I'm just tempted to just go and do that.
Just download it.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
It's the easiest way. And I use like a PlayStation DualShock 2 controller on my PC anyway. So,
no, there you go. Know.
We'll see.
Wouldn't really make a difference. For Wii, my girlfriend, she picked up Boom Blocks.
Awesome.
That game is awesome.
Yeah.
That game is
I really need to get this. Everybody is talking about this game. It's like last week Mark was talking about it, and now you're talking about it. Jason was talking about it. I have to get this game.
It's a lot of fun. Actually, it's probably my favorite Wii game. It's just good. It's just so fun. Like, first I was like, hey, I read all the reviews and people who I've talked to played it. Like Jason said, it was really good. I was like, how can this be fun? And going even through some of the tutorials, I was kind of like, hey, whatever. Like, some of the stuff in it, I think is terrible. Like, there's some games where literally all you're doing is aiming like a pointer and shooting at stuff. And like, that's kind of crap. But the ones that multiplayer is fun, especially when you get into it and it uses the accelerometer, I don't know what you want to call it, whatever it is, that accelerometer, to basically see how hard you're throwing it. And when you're getting into like a competitive battle, someone trying to knock down something before they do, and you really start throwing your arm out and throwing really hard. You want to throw these balls to just knock these other blocks down, and you want to look for Because Chris, you haven't played, there's these green blocks that if you can get them to touch each other, they blow up.
Oh, okay.
And so you're looking for these throughout that you're like, oh, okay, like, well, the partner might be, like, not your partner, the person playing against might be throwing stuff, like, knocking out block for block. Then I'm waiting to see, okay, there's a green one, try to match them up, and then boom, and it totally screws them over, and it's just, it's so much fun. And it's just addicting, because when you're playing single player, it'll tell you get medals, gold, silver, bronze, depending on how many throws it takes you to knock something down or to complete the task. And it'll tell you how many it can be done. So if you don't do it in like one shot or two shots, you like replay. I want to figure out how to do this one shot. I want to figure out how to do it.
It's fucking compelling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do they tell you in like the minimum that you can do it in or something?
Yeah. Cause if you basically like bronze will be like, say it's like four. If you go above four, you fail. So you have to do it again anyway. And it'll say like gold medals, like one shot. So it's just, getting silver or bronze, I'm just like, I can't settle for that.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And once you figure out some of the tougher ones, like how to actually do it, it's really satisfying. You're like, oh yeah.
Yep.
Like, hey, check this out. It's really fun. I recommend it to anyone who has a Wii. It's awesome.
Okay. I need to try it.
Most fun I've had of a Wii since.
And there's
since
like a little bit of luck thrown in too, because the physics are so dynamic, you know, it's just not straight fall to the ground or anything. You hit something and you watch this huge chain reaction and you're like, oh,
yeah.
Yes.
And some of the things, it's not necessarily knocking stuff down, but you have to get a certain amount of blocks off a structure. So sometimes if, like Jason's saying, because of the physics, you might do it perfectly where it's like, this is how you knock everything down. But the way those blocks fall, they might rest up against something else that hasn't quite fallen all the way. And because of that, you don't get the gold. So you're like, I got to do it again, because maybe this time it'll slightly shift and, you know, knock it over. It's pretty crazy. That was Wii. The only game I played on PS3 we're going to talk about a little bit later. 360 played some GTA 4 online with some people from work, just doing the free mode stuff, and I'm just still trying to find like funny ways to just fuck with people. Like one of my new favorite ones now is to two of them now. I grab grenades and then I get everyone to gather around. I'm like, oh yo, check this out, it's really cool. And then I pull it out and start cooking in my hand and they're not paying attention and then just blow everybody up. That's a lot of fun. They tend to get mad at that. And then I told you guys about the helicopter one before, right? Where you just fly the helicopter and then you go really high and just jump out and everyone else basically crashes. That's another fun one. But now another one is, I want to try it. I haven't tried it yet, but I'm pretty sure you can throw grenades while you're in vehicles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't tried that.
This is what I do at work when I'm bored. I think of how to screw with people in GTA is get a bunch of people in a helicopter, start flying around. Don't be flying it. Be like in the, you know, passenger side or something, or hanging off the side. Cook a grenade and just blow everybody up in the helicopter.
Wow.
I'm going to try that one.
Nice.
So you guys want to play some GTA after this or what?
Not with you.
I swear I won't do anything crazy. And I actually played some Halo 3 as well, multiplayer. And still fun. Still like it. Good times. That's it for me.
Cool. Jason?
Yep. Weird week this week. Nothing really, I don't know, exemplary. Seriously, like a lot of the old staples. That's about it. Like I did Grand Theft Auto 4, a little bit of that. Also did some WoW. No Warhawk this week. I was really disappointed.
Yeah, I could.
Scott had a show to record with Chris or whatever. I had some shit to take care of, so nobody was able to host. And Scott and I were both like, "Can anybody host, please?" Nobody stepped up. Pussies.
I realized afterwards I totally could have just set my PS3 to be a dedicated server and could have done it, but I didn't realize that until it was too late. I was like, damn it.
Well, fine help you were. Yeah, everybody came crawling out of the woodwork afterwards. I was like, oh, I wish I would have known. I would have set up something. My ass.
Yeah, we got called out by like by Glenn, too. It's like, yeah, it'd be nice if one of the hosts were actually there. And I'm like, well, we said we weren't going to be there. Sorry.
Well, other than, you know, the old standbys, I did, and Chris,
Rock
you know,
Band.
I'm sure you'll talk about this as well, but we're on like a PSU kick and PSO kick after the whole Phantasy Star ordeal. So, I've installed Blue Burst, for the PC, and then I also reactivated my account on PSU, and it's been amazing so far. Let's go to PSU for a second. I just want to talk about this real quick. I was quickly reminded why it broke my heart to begin with. And that, you know, I started over completely from scratch and, you know, no cool weapons or nothing, but I finally get a cool drop. And it's not a weapon or anything, mind you, but it's a board for a weapon. And I'd remind you that, you know, everything's about the crafting in this game. So I bring the board back to my room and I'm like, oh shit, I'm like three parts short. So I go through the stores and everything because they've got a player run shops. And I'm like, okay, this isn't so bad. This is actually kind of cool. Making me hunt for the stuff. I don't know. It's fun. So I get all my parts, put them in the board, start to synthesize. And then it says, you know, you got to wait like 15 minutes. I'm like, oh fuck. All right. So come back after the 15 minutes and the fucking thing fails.
Yeah.
So I'm all excited for this. I've just spent an hour trying to build this fucking thing. And then it says, now I'm really sorry, but I broke it. I don't know why the hell they went with the whole crafting thing. But if I ever find the guy that wanted to, I'm going to punch him in the fucking mouth. Like I'm going to Steven Seagal is bendy parts or some shit. Just like
I was
totally
messing around with my Dreamcast as well. I didn't really play anything, but I tried because I have PSO on it. And I put it in, or PSO2, whatever version 1 and 2. Yeah. And I put it in and I was like, oh cool, I'm just gonna try it, play it off like offline for nostalgia's sake. But you need a key just to even play it offline. I was like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you guys know of anywhere I can get one.
Probably a key? It should be you should have it. It should be on the cover of the disc.
There's right. No cover, it's just the disc by itself.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll talk about it offline and see if we can figure something out.
Well, actually, no. I've got the Japanese one, so I don't have like a version 2, like a US one. I might. I don't know. We'll see. I've got lots of Phantasy Star shit.
Yeah, me too.
Well, that sucks. You didn't get to have the nostalgia feeling. I got it when I played Blue Burst. You know, I sat down.
And I want to know: is there any Dreamcast compatible servers still running?
Yes,
I'm sure people are really happy we're all talking about Phantasy Star again, but.
Yeah, I figured we were going to touch on that in a little bit, but we're running Blue Burst on like a private server. So they've got the the clients for you to download. So you can actually connect to this private server. So they've got Blue Burst running. They've also got Dreamcast, regular PC version 2 stuff. And
right.
Yeah, they're going all out with that. So there is a way. And apparently there is a way to get your old characters back.
Characters?
Yeah. So you have to like email the admin over there or something like that. Cause I know I mentioned before, but Sega's actually kind of released those characters to the public and you can get your characters back and you just got to convert them into, you know, whatever database they're using.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Pretty neat.
Yep.
Trying to think of what else I played. I think that's about it though. Haze. But we'll touch on that in a minute. Nice. That's my week.
Cool. Fair enough.
All right,
I'll go through pretty quick. I'm gonna go through quick.
Crikey.
Word. I'll try and be quick. So PS3 Haze, we'll talk about that in a minute. PS2, I played some more Castlevania Curse of Darkness. This game has gotten better for me, and the reason is because of the familiars, and like I was talking about last week, the pets that you get. Depending on what weapon you're using, you get they go different routes as they evolve. And they also will drop like little eggs basically. And you can take these eggs to the shop and make new versions of the original familiar that you started with. And, you know, the final evolution can be like one of five different things based on the weapons that you have. So it's almost like a collection thing. It feels like Pokemon, sort of, because you're evolving.
Do you get Pikachu?
I just thought about it that way too, and it's like, shit, I'm playing fucking Pokemon. What's going on? But it really is a lot of fun, and the golem that I touched on a little bit last week, I've evolved him like three different ways now, and one of the things that he turns into is like this, like crazy ass demon samurai that pretty much kills anything. It's like I can just sit there and block the whole time and he'll kill everything around me in less time than I could even do anything. So
it's fun.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to say the least. So I'm still playing that. We'll see how that goes.
It's weird.
PC, as Jason said, we did some, PSO Blue Burst. Mm-hmm. We got to play for like a half an hour together. It's something like that.
It was magical though, every moment.
Yeah, it was very nostalgic. as I started playing PSO again, it made me appreciate the combat in PSU a whole lot more.
No shit.
Yeah, because the PSU's combat is so much better than PSO's is. And you don't really think about it until you go back and play PSO and realize, oh, if I'm attacking and I want to pull off my combo, I can only go forward. I can't like change directions mid combo like you can in PSU. Yeah. And, you know, other things like, what are you saying?
You can a little bit. You can, yeah, if you time it right, you can actually turn.
Can you? I have not been able to successfully
you
do it.
You really have to delay your attack though. But
oh, okay.
It's
hard
to
give that a shot. It's been a long time since I played PSO. So dropping it in, you know, this week was very nostalgic and, you know, I've actually had to try and get used to playing it again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, even without that, you know, just the different weapons and the fact that you can dual wield like a saber and a gun and that kind of thing. And strafing. Oh God.
Oh, fuck
you never
yeah.
realize how good strafing is until you don't have it.
And lock on.
Yeah. The lock on actually helps a lot too. So, but yeah. So my character's up to like level 10. So I haven't played it that much. And then I reactivated my PSU account and I reactivated my PC PSU account and canceled my 360 one, which was an adventure all on its own. Their customer service sucks so bad. And I actually asked the woman on the phone. I called the woman up and she's like, okay, yeah. So I'm going to give you a reference number and then you have to call back. I'm like, why do I have to call back? Well, you have to go to this department. Can't you transfer me?
No, of course.
No, I don't have the ability to transfer you. How do you not have the ability to transfer me to a different department? I can transfer.
Just didn't want to.
Yeah, I can transfer anywhere through the automated system, but you can't transfer me. You don't have more power than the automated system. Yeah, you suck. And then I actually asked her, I said, why is it that I can push a button and tell you to take my money, but I can't push a button and tell you to stop?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, well, you know, they're talking about trying to make things like that on the dashboard. I'm like, don't talk about it. Just do it. That's ridiculous. I shouldn't have to call your ass. So anyway, moving on. But yeah, I reactivated my PSU account and after a year, my characters were still there.
Yeah,
and I was super fucking excited. I got to play with one of them today a little bit before doing the podcast, and I ran a few missions, and yeah, I'm back to having fun with it. After doing the Phantasy Star episode last week, it's I'm all excited about it again. So
yeah, go figure.
Huh? We'll see how long that lasts.
Well, we've got a couple other people that are Phantasy Star. Never.
We've got a couple other people that are excited as well. So.
Yeah, Industria is going to try it again.
Yep, Industria.
Yeah, stop talking
gonna
about
hop
it,
along
I can't,
at some point.
I can't play it, so.
Yes, you can.
Why can't you
no,
play
I
it?
I can't.
Get a new computer.
My PC sucks balls, and unless somehow I can get my Dreamcast 1 on that server or something like that, then I'm
what about
hopeless.
The...
Play the PS2 version of PSU.
Yeah.
I guess I could. But then I have to pay go. $10 a month.
Oh, yeah. anyway, yeah, that's it. That's my week.
Should we try and set up a night to play or something?
Yeah, we should. I know we were talking about the whole alliteration thing and trying to do Phantasy Star Friday.
Yes.
And you know, we can give that a shot. I just really don't think that Friday is going to be a good day all the time. So it'll be one of those things that it's like, it'll be sporadic. It's like every once in a while we'll be like, hey, it's Friday. Let's play Phantasy Star.
Right. And we don't want to like impose on, you know, Team Fremont Fridays or anything, but this is kind of a special exception because I don't think many people are going to be that interested in Phantasy Star.
But. Yeah.
So, no offense, TFL.
That's right.
If you guys start brand new characters, then I might do it. Because you guys are probably what level?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah. Jason did, and I actually have two characters that are level 18 and 19. Mm-hmm. So, I'm actually messing with them right now, and all I'm doing is getting my job points up. I'm not really trying to level them right now. I'm trying to level their jobs. So, I want to actually get them to the advanced class, and then... You know, what I'm going to probably end up doing is I'll meet up with Jason or something like that, and I'll help him run through some of the missions that gets him better experience and job points, and we'll go that route to level up characters quickly.
Can you twink me?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Well, let's talk about this other game that all three of us played together, co-op.
We did. No one
made good on our word.
That's right. I don't want to hear any bishop from anybody anymore because all three of us played Haze on.
And we played up to the part where everyone said it's, you know, play up to the part where you You switch sides, so to speak.
Oh, you gotta play to the Switch. Oh, you gotta play here.
The game becomes amazing once you switch sides.
Yeah.
So I'm not actually making that quote. I'm just saying right. What people said.
So, guys, thoughts.
Jeff,
you go first. You're the first person shooter around here. So
my opinion still stands, same from the demo. It's very generic. It does absolutely nothing new, and it doesn't do. There's a million other shooters that does everything that Haze tried to do and does it way better.
Yeah.
It just felt like it's very straightforward. Very. It has that thing I hate about these kind of shooters, that shooting gallery feel, where I just found that when we were running around, I felt like whenever we saw enemies, there was no real, not danger per se, but I just felt like, hey, aim your gun, shoot. There's no need to kind of like take cover or involve any kind of strategy or anything like that, especially when you can just have your partners revive you at any point they want to. You go down, oh, revive. Down, revive. Enemy, shoot. And I felt like the guns don't feel like they do anything. They just feel like you're aiming and shooting no matter what weapon you have. Did you guys get that same thing? It was like aim, shoot.
Yeah, I didn't really feel like there was a difference in the guns until you picked up like the minigun. The minigun is the only thing that felt even remotely different to me.
I don't even know how that felt different other than it just took a while to start up.
Right, and that's exactly what I was going to say. The only thing that felt different is you had to hold the trigger down for a while before it started up. And that's it.
Felt very foamy. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't have too much to add on that front. I mean, it really is. It does feel generic. And that's saying something because I don't play a lot of first-person shooters. But this felt like everything else that I've played. You know, I didn't notice anything that was above and beyond by any means. You know, I thought the voice acting was really kind of crappy. you know, like I said before, I understand the kind of satire. I understand the setup where they're making us want to hate these guys. But they don't really allude to that. They don't tell you right away. And... If that's all you're referencing, my God, this game is fucking annoying. I did play a little bit more of the story mode than I think the other two guys did here. Mm-hmm. Like I got through the beach part and I got on the ship, and that actually was a kind of a cool level design. But that's really about it, you know?
Yeah, I've actually heard that before, that it's like the one redeeming factor is that there's like a battleship stage where, you know, it's really cool. And we didn't get there co-op, but. No. You know, I don't know. I found no real redeeming qualities to the game that make me want to keep playing it.
Yeah. I mean, the AI is just really bad. Your squad mates. I mean, and that's kind of typical of most games. You know, the AI is never all that great, especially with squads. But, I mean, they'd oftentimes run right into my line of fire, you know, enemies would pop out and I'd, you know, pop a squat and start shooting people. Then all of a sudden, like two or three of my teammates would run in front of my fucking rifle and die. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Yeah,
I did that a couple times too.
Shit.
When we were just playing, usually any shooter game is fun co-op. And oh, another thing is the voice chat is terrible. I couldn't hear Jason. Jason couldn't hear me. Chris could hear both of us. I could hear Chris. But I think they don't use an open chat line, which really sucks because I think it looks for sound. And when you start to speak, it cues it to actually like open up the channel and let you speak. So the problem was when Chris was talking to me, it would cut off the beginning of what he's saying and the end.
Oh, really?
So it was just really weird. And it was just kind of annoying. I kept saying, what?
Well,
what was
that? I had the opposite effect, actually. I could hear everything that was going on at Chris's house.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd hear the echo of the game the entire time.
Yeah.
No, I only heard like when he was saying, so I heard an echo every once in a while, but I get to like, he would talk and it'd be kind of a little bit of static. And then when he stopped talking, it was like, didn't hear anything. It was just messed up.
Yeah, it was a little frustrating for me because I turned into the middleman and it's like, and I could hear both of them. They could hear both of me, but they couldn't hear each other. So it's like, I would say something to Jason and Jeff would be like, what? What the hell are you talking about? It's like, I was talking to Jason. Don't worry about it.
And so, I truly didn't start actually having fun until I started shooting you guys.
Yeah.
That's when me and Jason started having like these standoffs and stuff. That was fun.
I'm like, what the fuck just hit me? And then I see Jeff kind of walk by with a sniper rifle. I'm like, huh, that's weird. I don't see any enemies.
Jeff would revive me.
And then I'd die 2 seconds later. And then I see Jeff, you know, holding the gun. And I'm like, all right, fucker.
It's on.
All right. So I'd revive him, kill him, revive him, run away. Yeah. He'd kill me. That was the most fun, though, is killing one another.
It really was. Yeah. That was the most fun.
I was just trying to go ahead, Chris.
I have to display my frustration with one more thing. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. The whole flamethrower thing.
Oh my God. That is the worst flamethrower ever in a game. In a video
game. It's not even that. It's not even that. Could you tell me why they are not wearing some sort of flame retardant armor where, like, a flame touches you and all of a sudden you burst into flames?
Yeah.
And you run around screaming like a crazy person.
Shake the controller to put the flames out, mm-hmm. and it doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work consistently.
At all.
No.
I mean, I was shaking frantically. I looked like a fucking idiot, and I was like, it's not working! You know? Yeah. It was horrible.
And it looks terrible.
I posted really about that on the forum, the whole shaking thing. I was having a tough time. I'm like, I can't even advance in the game because I can't get past this part. But Nabo actually gave me a tip, and he's like, you got to hold it a certain way, rotate it the elbow 6 inches, you know, very uniformly. I'm like, that sounds really fucking retarded. Why do you have to do that? But you know what? It worked. I'm like, yeah. All right.
That's funny.
I
don't want to call Nabo out again, but he was saying, like, oh my god, a flamethrower, like, when has it ever been done well in, like, a game? He's the first one. It's awesome. Like, first shooter I ever saw, like, a flamethrower in was, I think it was Return to Castle Wolfenstein. I played it on the original Xbox. Not only was it more effective in terms of, like, what it could do, but it looked awesome. Like, the stream of fire coming out, it looked like an actual flamethrower. It set things on fire. Where this just looked, like, pixelated. It was just, I was like, it's ugly.
It looked like little flat 2D polygons coming at you.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like to me, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sorry, but yeah, Warhawk does a flamethrower pretty good.
Yeah.
Does it a lot better than Haze does.
Yeah.
So.
And I was like, that's why I was talking to you guys. I was like, hey, I know you guys aren't big Halo fans or whatever, but I wanted to play Halo 3 co-op right afterwards. Just right away, instantly, you just feel like, hey, this is just feels so much better. And same with, like, if Resistance had co-op, whatever, it'd just be like, just to go from Haze to something like that, that's when you really notice the difference. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying Haze is total crap, but I would definitely, it's not worth the fours that it was getting from IGN, but it's definitely not worth the eights or the higher scores either.
Give it
a score because, yeah,
it's a six game at most.
Best. Yeah.
And it's not bad, but it's not good. It's just average. It's a generic first person shooter. And mm-hmm. if you like first person shooters, you might like it. If you don't, it doesn't have any redeeming qualities that'll make you interested in it. It's like, I don't play first person shooters that much, but I played Resistance and I loved every minute of it. So mm-hmm. this particular game just doesn't seem to have any redeeming qualities to, for me.
Right. So yeah, I'm glad you have that opinion too, Chris, cause like you don't play too many first person shooters. And I was like, when we had this whole idea to kind of go through it at co-op, I honestly thought I'd be sitting here trying to argue against you or defend why it's not that great a first-person shooter, because I figure you don't play too many. It might actually, some things might stand out to you as being, hey, this is actually pretty cool, or it's not that bad. But, yeah. If a casual first-person shooter fan isn't liking it, then mm-hmm. it's kind of said something.
Yeah,
you got to be pretty hard up to even, I don't know, get excited about this. I don't know what the hell the big draw is. I kind of liken it to like an ugly chick at the bar at the end of the bar close.
The last call. Last call.
Yeah, last call. Yeah.
It's the one that you need the beer goggles to actually enjoy.
Right.
The one you plant the seed in right when you get there. You're like, she's not hot enough to hit on now, but I'll plant the seed just in case, you know, if I can't do any better.
About, you know, six drinks later, I'm like, well.
You're like, oh, there you are.
All right. Storyline's pretty good. I've been looking for you all night. Wow, what a twist. Holy shit. That flamethrower is awesome. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's Haze, I guess, eh?
But we were talking about it a little bit at work, and while I was at work, I had so we're talking about Haze, and while I'm at work, I had the Full Moon show on in the background, and they started talking about the Resistance co-op that they're doing, mm-hmm. and that sounds cool.
Yeah, that sounds like co-op.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking about eight players, different classes, all that stuff, and they're really mm-hmm. trying to make it a more team-oriented thing where, you know, the classes will actually complement each other and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that will be interesting to me, probably. Yeah. So,
and Resistance already started off as a good game, so.
Yeah, this is true.
Good stuff to work with.
We didn't talk about multiplayer much. I didn't get a chance to play too much. One question I do have for you, though, Jeff, is in Halo. Mm-hmm. Are there co-op, like, mission-based things aside from the regular campaign mode?
No, the co-op in Halo is strictly the campaign.
Really?
It's pretty much exactly like the Haze one.
Gotcha. Well, the Haze, actually, the multiplayer modes, there are like I don't know. They've got various objectives as well, you know, because you play two different sides, right? So the one map that I did play on is, you know, you had to work your way up to, you know, the cockpit of this, you know, aircraft carrier or whatever and disable something. And, you know, the other team had to defend it or whatever. So
I thought that was so this is like multiplayer. Okay. I thought you meant co-op.
Right.
So. Yeah. No, there is, there is team-based stuff in Halo 3. Yeah.
With objectives or?
Simple type objectives, not like the similar, it's like capture the flag type stuff where you have to stop another team from planting a bomb in a certain area. You have to defend it, then you switch and you have to be the one to carry the bomb there, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So this is like different variations of typical stuff, basically.
Yeah. This almost sounds like, variations of that stuff, but it seemed presented a little bit better. I like the objective based stuff. That's kind of cool. But I don't know. That's the only real good thing that I can say about it, I guess.
Jeff, I don't have any objection to doing what we did with Haze with Halo. I mean, if you're like determined to make us play Halo, so
yeah,
I don't know, Jason, it's up to you, man. If you guys, if you want to go out and rent Halo 3 and we'll give it a shot, then it's up to you.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. Totally.
But we have to do it in like basically a controlled environment. Cause if we try to go in, if you guys don't play it and we go right away into matchmaking, then you guys are going to hate it.
So I'm sure
people out there on VGA Evo and GLF or whoever is listening, if we set that up, we'll let you guys know and get some people that aren't exactly Halo stars. So,
well, I don't know. You kind of sound like an asshole playing multiplayer games with. So, I don't know.
I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm
you kill your teammates, you fucker.
When I'm bored, yeah.
When you're bored. Yeah, I thought it was funny. It was like, as soon as he picked up that sniper rifle, I saw him pointing it at you, Jason, and he pops you one, comes over, picks you up, and then runs halfway across the screen, turns around, and pops you again. I'm like, oh my God.
I'm like, everybody down, take cover. There's still someone in here.
Jason's looking around. Oh my God.
And the funniest thing is because Jason couldn't hear you, you're sitting there cracking up laughing about the whole situation. And I know exactly what's going on, but Jason's like, who keeps shooting? Me, I don't understand.
Haze is a great game.
Oh man! All right, are we done thrashing Haze at this point?
I think so.
Cool.
I'm sorry, Haze. We tried for real.
We did.
Well, let's talk about some good news for a change. Jeff, why don't you take it away, man?
All righty. First bit, pretty big announcement by Sony. They announced their core. E-magazine, so to speak, this week. Basically, it's going to be a charge service. It's $2.99 per episode, or basically per month, or you can pay $24.99 for 13 episodes. It's basically a service similar to stuff that Xbox Live has, or like Inside Xbox. Basically, it's going to have developer interviews, exclusive videos of upcoming games, you know, announcements or whatnot. There's some speculation because a few reports said that they would not have exclusive demos, but other ones said they would have exclusive demos, which kind of turned some people off, kind of like, well, why would they do that? But I mean, MS does the same thing. So, and Sony does have to make their money somehow. They can't have all free online all the time because that would just be kind of ridiculous for them not to, you know, to miss out on purpose on money that people will pay.
Well,
This is actually supposed to launch today, right? But it's not up yet.
As of press time, no. I've been waiting for it all day.
Yeah, well, delay Station 3. Everything that gets announced has been delayed, right?
That's right. Jeff, I actually wanted to ask you, how often do you check out the Inside Xbox on Xbox Live? Do you really? What kind of stuff do they have in there?
They have the same kind of stuff, like developer interviews. Yeah. They'll have like, because they have like a team that pretty much work for it. They'll go to developer studios. They'll have interviews. They'll show videos. They'll show things like how to get certain achievements in games. They have like Major's Minute, which is like once a week where he gets a minute to either show you how to do something or announce something or something like that. It's basically, it's the same kind of thing. One thing is the PSN, the core is going to be 100% HD, whereas Inside Xbox isn't, but the Inside Xbox is a streaming, you know, you guys have used it, right? It's just basically streams everything. So it's like a smaller kind of video, but it pops up kind of right away. You don't have to download it.
Yeah.
So that's probably why it's not all in HD. The Witch?
It works pretty slick.
Yeah, it's all right, but I do go check it out every day because there is some interesting stuff on there.
Cool.
I check it out every day too.
Yeah. And that's and only available for gold members, is that right?
Sorry, I don't know. That's I'm not too sure about because I don't know. I can't confirm that.
Because all of us are gold members, thought, right?
We're all gold members.
I don't know the
difference. At first, I thought we were. What was that, Jason?
I don't know the difference. I've always been gold, so I don't know.
Yeah same here. And Tanya, her dad has a 360, and I remember her place once. I was like, oh, cool. They do have Inside Xbox, so it's probably silver. But then I remembered that just a few days earlier, he signed up for gold because he wanted to play Call of Duty online. So didn't notice if it was. So if someone out there, I'm sure, can confirm that, whether or not it's gold. My guess is it probably is gold members only. I'm just going to guess.
Well, listeners out there that are silver, let us know if you have access to Inside Xbox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You
know, drop us an email. Let us know.
Yep. Well, and if this turns out to be pretty cool, like, $2.99 a month and $24 for the entire year is not that bad at all. I'll probably sign up for it if it's decent.
And aside from demos and everything, and you know the exclusive video content, they're also throwing in like calling all cars.
If you sign up for the year,
betas and stuff like that. Seems kind
of
cool.
Don't you get the SOCOM beta like immediately after signing up or something?
Well,
that's
the thing they're doing. Kind of like if you want to be in the SOCOM beta, confrontation beta, you have to sign up for the year subscription,
right?
Or at least one episode or something like that. That's how you get in. So it's kind of like you'll get beta stuff like that. See, that's kind of scary too, though, because it's like, are they going to do that with all their big games? Like, okay, you can join this beta, but you can only do it if you have this. But I'm not going to complain because I don't like, I have nothing wrong with paying for online services that give you something that is worth it. So like I said, if it's cool stuff, I'm going to be signed up anyway. Like, I'm signed up for Xbox Live. I don't care if they do anything like that because I'm like, I'm a gold member. I don't care if it's betas or my gold members. And I'll think the same way of the PSN as well.
Well, I did see them say that that this isn't going to be the only way to get into the SOCOM beta, but it is a way to get into the SOCOM beta. So I doubt that you're going to see a time where the only way you can get into a beta is through core. I doubt we'll see that.
I hope not.
Yeah. And the whole demo thing, I know that that's the big thing that's been going around as an issue. I think it's going to be more like what they do on Xbox Live where it comes out, you know, if you get core,
for a week or so,
you get it then. Because core will come out once a month or whatever, and you'll get the demo then. And, if you get it, you know, through a regular download service, it'll come out whatever week it's supposed to come out.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be just like an advance.
There'll be exclusive downloadable content for some games too, which is another kind of iffy thing. And that could be good or bad depending on how it's handled. If it's like, you can only get this downloadable content and you still have to pay for it while you're doing this. And another thing, it's core is also going to have advertising. They've actually gone out and said it's going to have advertising in it. So
that doesn't bother me too much because, you know, what is core really? Core is a magazine that you download. And if you go out and you buy a magazine off a store shelf, there's ads all over the place. So that really doesn't bother me too much.
Okay. Now, just to back things up, Chris, when we had the whole Xbox Live discussion, you were saying that was one of your big pet peeves, that there was advertising on Xbox Live.
Something that's
true. On every single, you know, tab that I had, that's every single dashboard tab. If I went to Inside Xbox and I saw an ad in there, it probably wouldn't be as much of an issue because I'm actually looking at this magazine type thing.
But it's all in one package though, right? So wouldn't that be the same thing? Does it matter whether or not you're watching Inside Xbox or if you're watching something on Core? If you see an advertisement on a Blade or you have to watch a commercial before you watch something on Core, is there really that big of a difference?
It's going to come down to how forceful they are with it, how intrusive they are.
Yeah. And
if they force it.
Because it sounds like the ones on Core, you have to watch a video before like watching something. They said that they're right now they have one for Hulk.
That's kind of annoying. Because, I mean, they do that on some websites. Like if you want to go watch a video review or something, you have to watch an ad beforehand. Mm-hmm. And that's annoying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes it'll be like, watch one ad, then you can watch the rest of the others without watching it. So, again, it all depends on how frequent it is and how, you know, how much they take advantage of it or abuse it. But, I mean, I have no problem. Like, again, I have no problem with advertising in most things, so I'm not going to really give a shit if there is or not. Either way is good.
Cool. We'll see how that turns out. You know, I know that Jason said he's going to check it out, and I'll probably check it out too. So
I'm definitely going to check it out. I'm like, you know, all of us are the same way. We all need like the best service, whatever. Like, I'm going to get it. I don't care. $5 a month, whatever. I want these videos. If Jeff and Chris are watching these videos, I'm watching them too. Damn it. So maybe by the time you guys hear this, it should be live and running. So we should have all had some experience with it at least. For the next show, so we can give our
check the blog
then.
Right now.
Yeah, go for it. Another big news this week: Itagaki left Team Ninja and Tecmo. Not only did he leave, he's actually suing them. A lot of people.
Yeah.
Tecmo stock dropped 10% once that was announced.
Okay. So, can I chime in here?
Mm-hmm. We know you hated
it. They made this big deal about, you know, oh, the stock dropped 10%. The stock dropped a dollar. The stock was only worth $10 to begin with. It dropped a dollar.
That's still a lot of money.
That's a lot of money to have a lot of shares.
It is. You're right. But I mean, it's like they made it this huge deal about it being 10%. It's like, I mean,
a 10% drop in anything is bad.
Well, yeah.
If you had like any stock,
the stock is low to begin with. It wasn't, the only stock I have to work off of is IBM, and that because I actually have IBM stock from working there. And IBM stock is like at 130 or something right now. And if that dropped 10%, well, shit, I just lost $13 a share. But a dollar a share is, you know, it'll go back up. It's not going to stay down, that dollar.
Oh, it will. But the thing people worry is like their biggest franchises were basically Itagaki's work. So, and they still have the rights to it. So that's why Itagaki came out and said Ninja Gaiden 2 will be the last Ninja Gaiden game he works on, basically not because he doesn't want to, because he doesn't own the rights to it. So,
yeah.
And he's suing because he said that when he was doing DOA 4, he was promised some kind of completion bonus if he finished it. He would get a certain amount of money from Tecmo. Didn't get it, apparently. And also, his boss or something made some derogatory comments to him and other colleagues that he worked with about him. So that's why he's suing them, or I guess slander or something. I don't know what you want to. What he's actually possibly suing for, other than that.
Well, he is kind of an asshole.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's one of those egotistical. He seems like one of those guys who's like, don't look me in the eye kind of dudes.
Well,
yeah.
You can't, because he's always wearing fucking sunglasses.
Sunglasses. Yeah. Maybe that's why. He seems a bit like on the insecure side, definitely. But it does suck because Ninja Gaiden games are good and the DOA fighting games are, they're decent. They're at least like in the top 3D fighting games. Although that's not saying much because there's only like five.
Yeah. But do you really think that they're that good because of him? You know, 2 weeks ago, before this shit happened, I was like, you know, the Itagaki guy, okay, he's kind of brash, you know, he's a rebel, you know, I think the industry kind of needs rock star developers like this. You know, but then word came out that he was dissing his entire team about like Sigma. He's like, you know, I don't even discuss
that.
Well,
that wasn't his team, though.
That wasn't his team, but the game was great.
It wasn't
his
team Ninja, though.
It was Team Ninja.
It was Team Ninja, but it wasn't. It was like a derivative of like, I don't know, like what's a good example. Like it's not, his team, like Team Ninja was working on Ninja Gaiden 2 and he didn't want Sigma to be made. Like he flat out told Tecmo they didn't want that, but they put this other guy in charge like, listen, we're going to do it because I guess they wanted to port it over and make some money. So he didn't want anything to do with it to begin with. So
I didn't read that, but
he's still, it's kind of an ass thing to do though.
Yeah.
That's for sure. To kind of,
well, to follow up, Tecmo has kind of released something in, as a retort, as it were, you know, they said that, you know, he may have had that kind of agreement, but that was with previous management.
Yeah, that's right.
It was different management. Anything about it. So, yeah, as far as we know, fucking crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, he's had issues, man. He also had those issues a couple of years ago about that other sexual harassment suit he had filed against him.
Yeah.
So he doesn't seem to be all quite there. But, hey, his games, whether or not he has a lot to do with them or not, they're pretty decent. Although none of us bought Ninja Gaiden 2, which is surprising because I think we all had that in our most anticipated list at the beginning of the year.
I don't remember if I did or not.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the series, but too technical for me.
But, yeah, I'll give it a rent. It's not getting best
reviews. I want a demo. So. Give me a demo.
Yeah.
The demo
was supposed to be
a
demo released last week, but it didn't happen. Yep. So he'll be picked up. I'm guessing, I wouldn't be surprised actually if Microsoft picked him up.
That would be a really good move for them, I think.
Yeah.
For who? Microsoft?
Yep.
I guess. I'd like to see what he makes, like a new IP. It'd be kind of interesting. But I mean, him as a, like, I'm with you, Chris. Like, I do think he's a bit of a dickhead dude, but I mean, you can't judge a company by the guy running it, right? Or the team by the guy running it.
Oh, I'm not judging Team Ninja. I mean, I think the Ninja Gaiden games are very good. I mean, besides the shitty camera, they're, you know, otherwise pretty damn fabulous. Besides the camera and the story are the two biggest problems, right? Or lack of, you know. But I mean, other than that, you know, the combat's fantastic and, you know, it's very good character design in most cases. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I have no problem with Team Ninja. I just think that he needs to keep his mouth shut
basically.
and not talk about things. Like he's the God's gift to gamers. You know, it's like Ninja Gaiden 2 is the best action game ever. That's pretty much what he's been saying the whole time.
It's reviews like, say opposite.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the way that he trashed Devil May Cry. I mean, is that really necessary? I understand that it's your competitor, but I mean, Capcom didn't come out and did Capcom come out and say anything about Ninja Gaiden?
Yeah. The director of Devil May Cry 4 did.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I missed that. See, that's shitty. All around, that's shitty.
Shots back and back forth. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like it's funny how now the game developers are starting to take shots back and forth. Like a lot of other ones have done it, like other developers and directors or whatnot. But it's kind of like reminds me of back in the day where bands would have feuds with each other or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a big industry. A little more interesting. That's why I think we kind of need that kind of stuff here and there.
Yeah, it gives us something to talk about.
Up a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It gives us something to talk about. There you go.
That's right. And speaking of bands, Guitar Hero has a little bit of a rumor going out there, pretty much confirmed rumor. It is actually confirmed. But Guitar Hero and Activision, they're working on a Metallica-only disc, similar to the Aerosmith one, I guess, where it takes the band from beginning to end. It's going to have songs all the way from Kill 'Em All to Up Against Saint Anger, unfortunately. And that's no release date, of course, but you Metallica freaks out there, and I'm not the biggest Metallica fan. I like them, but their songs are fun as hell to play on Guitar Hero and Rock Band, so I'm all for it. Especially if this is going to be compatible with the drum set and stuff for Guitar Hero, because that would just be kick-ass.
I would count on that, but
I'm guessing, I think it'd probably fall, it'd probably come out. I think it'll probably actually maybe just before Guitar Hero 4 gets released.
Yeah, that's all we need is another Guitar Hero SKU. Yay.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I would be much happier if this release it as like a downloadable content for free or something. But
yeah, whatever. No kidding.
Whatever.
Yeah, we'll see the what full happens. Album downloads and Rock Band are a much better way to go for me.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, did you see Rock Band this week?
No, I missed it.
It's three songs from Disturbed and three songs from Jimmy Buffett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's awesome.
Including Margaritaville and Cheeseburger in Paradise. I'm like, that's awesome.
Oh, shit. I might have to get Margaritaville, man. I don't know.
Yeah, that'll be a good party song.
Yeah, exactly.
LucasArts apparently are thinking, we talked about this actually a while ago that we kind of want to see this, but except for Chris, he didn't seem too happy.
God damn, I was joking. I know. People, Jesus.
We like picking on you. It's fun.
But just do the news. News, bitch.
Hey. I'll demand a raise.
Okay, I'll give you a 100% raise. How about that?
Sweet. In that case, I'm going to keep moving on. LucasArts are thinking about porting over old point-and-click adventures to the Wii and DS, possibly. So we're thinking like, you know, games like Fate of Atlantis and Day of the Tentacle, those type games. Monkey Island. I'm all for this. I want it to happen. They haven't confirmed anything. They're just saying that they have thought about it, and their first worry was that the space on the DS cartridge wouldn't be enough, but apparently someone looked it up and they're like, you know what, they're not that much bigger, and with compression these days, they could probably get it to fit on there, so it probably wouldn't be an issue. I really hope this happens. I think they're fun games, especially like if you're just like taking them to go portable. Really cool. I don't know if they'll... I think it's actually the time that could probably be rejuvenated on a portable system like the DS, because people like not that much younger than us have probably never even played these games, and I think they'd kind of dig them because hey, DS is all the rage, right? And the Wii, so
true.
Go for it.
Yep. I've actually never played any of those games, so I don't have a preference either way. So
you've never played one of the LucasArts like or Sierra
point and click adventures? No, because you have to understand, I didn't have a computer until I was older.
Okay.
You know, so I didn't get into the computer gaming thing until, you know, I mean, my first computer game was like Diablo.
Okay. So. Yeah, that's a little bit past.
Right.
Still point and click, but in a different way.
Yeah. For the record, the Scum VM engine, which is available on the DS if you have like a flash cart, you can play all those old games. But
yeah,
just putting that out there.
Arr.
Insomniac's opening up a new studio in North Carolina.
Yes!
We're moving.
That's pretty awesome.
We're moving
shit.
To North Carolina, baby.
Let's all apply, because every time there's ever like a, you need to work for this company because they're the best company in the world, Insomniac is usually always number one. So, you know, Ted Price knows how to treat his employees. And if you're anywhere in the North Carolina area or like us out there. Yeah, go for it. Apply. They want to have the studio up and running, I think, by January. So
we'll be there.
I'm sure there's a lot of openings.
That's fine.
I seriously want to look into like the job openings I have. And I'll start as like a web developer or something over there. I don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be awesome.
I'll clean toilets, man.
I actually sent that to Chris today and I'm like, Insomniac moving to NC. We're moving. He's like, yeah.
It's pretty crazy. Capcom is sticking to the Resident Evil 5 theme despite all the people, you know, claiming that it has racist tones or whatnot, which I think people should just let go. And this should be a who gives a shit moment.
Yeah.
Because I think it's ridiculous that people would even think that in the first place. I mean, you're in Africa. Like,
yeah, what's the big deal?
People bitch when it was like in Europe and you're shooting white people all the time.
Well, yeah. they kind of did, but I mean, there's such a connotation, you know, such a stigma with, you know, racism and, you know, slavery. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, that's like a subject that you just can't even joke about ever.
No.
You know? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. They're sticking to it. Oh, with the new screenshot stuff, it's not just people like the people in Africa or whatnot. And they say it fits with the storyline. They kind of have to do it that way. And it's not like the whole game's like that. So
yeah,
they're not changing anything. So Resident Evil 5 will remain how they envisioned it from the beginning.
Yeah, good. I did notice that there were more Caucasian individuals in mobs of zombies.
Definitely.
Speaking of mobs of zombies, my God, that is going to be intense. Oh, my God. I was watching the trailer for it, and I'm like, this is going to really suck. Holy shit.
I still haven't like played 4.
Mobbing you, and they're just kind of 3 or 4 of them will kind of lurch at you, and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm wetting my pants already. Hey, that chick is really hot, though.
Sucks so bad.
Oh, the partner?
I'm kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, I was like, good God.
I heard you, Jeff. The graphics are not going to suck. You suck.
I know. I was kidding.
Yeah,
I know. Kidding.
It's going to be the worst looking game ever.
So we kind of made a jab at the delay station 3 earlier, but we might want to start calling it the cancellation station 3, maybe.
Nice. Well done.
A couple more games have been canceled for the PS3. One being The Getaway 3, the other one being 8 Days. To me, this isn't a big deal. I thought the first Getaway game was terrible, never played the second. And 8 Days, always thought was that trailer they showed at E3, 6 years ago? I can't remember how long it was. We haven't seen anything on it since.
It was 2005.
Yeah, whatever. It seemed like 6 years ago.
Yeah, but the trailer was so cool.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
But they're canceled. And also EA just canceled Command & Conquer Red Alert for the PS3 as well. Hmm. Which doesn't make sense to me.
No, I don't think they canceled it. Didn't they just delay it indefinitely?
Yeah. Well, delayed indefinitely, but I mean, that could be their way of saying canceled.
Could be.
Yeah, indefinite, right? But it doesn't make sense. Could be mouse and keyboard support on PS3 with like any mouse and keyboard. And the install base is getting up there. I don't see why it wouldn't do well on that. Any worse or like any more or less than it would on 360.
Yeah. So I think they need something like this to bring in more PC gamers.
Yep.
Yeah. Hmm. So those are all canceled. So if you guys all had them on pre-order already,
you
want to transfer your money over to something else. Something else that might be coming out next week, maybe. Just throwing it out there.
Hmm. No, I'm pretty booked for a few weeks.
Yeah, me too.
Anything new that's coming out.
No? Well, we'll wait till new releases, see what happens.
Okay.
See if we're reminded by anything. This reminds me, I have next week off, right? So I have all next week booked off.
Do you
and
really?
I'm thinking of going to, yeah, I do actually. It has nothing to do with what you think it is. We book all of our stuff ahead of time, like beginning of the year. And I just said, I'm just going to take a random week off in June. So I decided to take that week. And I was just coincidentally, you know, that week happens to be an important week. And I was very happy when I found out. And what I'm planning on doing actually though, when I'm on vacation, we have this thing called Canada's Wonderland. And there's these things like roller coasters and stuff you can sit on and things will fling you around in like crazy motions or, you know, really high velocities. And it's kind of like,
what the hell are those called?
Most people
we have something like that in the States. Yeah. Like a roller coaster, right?
Yes. Yeah, so exactly. Like a roller coaster.
Like we have one up the street, like up 20. What's it called?
Oh, Six Flags.
About flags. Six Flags. There you go. Six Flags.
Oh, well, that's perfect because, like, I'm thinking of the one that's in Canada's Wonderland, which is basically a lot like Six Flags. And, you know, it's is fun. It? You go and you stand in line for a couple hours and yeah, your adrenaline rushes up to, you know, all throughout your body. And it's the wind in your hair and, you know, the breeze between your knees. And don't even know what that meant. And good times with your friends, you drink some beer, you know, and you have a good time. Uh-huh. And then I was like, you know what, you know what would be awesome? If you could have this same experience going to a Six Flags, but not actually going to Six Flags.
Oh my God, I was just thinking that. That's so uncanny.
I wish I could go to Six Flags and not leave my house. That would be awesome.
Exactly, because it's going to happen, guys.
No.
Because Brash Entertainment is going to release a Six Flag game on the Wii and PS2.
Oh,
so no lineups.
No
bugs. No smelly fat people in front of you.
Well, that'll
beside you. Well, I guess depending on who you live with, that could kind of change. But it's, but no, Brash Entertainment is going to be coming out for the Wii and PS2. So expect it to be a graphical powerhouse. And no release date, of course.
But awesome.
Yep. So get your friends together. Don't actually go out in the sun and actually ride these things. Watch them on a TV. It's like, just like being there.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what? You know what will happen is they'll come over and they'll sit down and they'll start playing it. And you know the first thing they're going to say?
Who gives a shit?
That's right.
Now, I do have a question about this. Is this like... I mean, do they talk about what this game is going to be?
They
at
talk
all?
About... It's basically a mini game collection.
A mini game collection. That's
exactly what it is.
So it's first not even like a Roller Coaster Tycoon type game?
No. It's a mini game collection.
Just
I thought, that's the first thing
that
I was like, you know what? I'm like, we can't make fun of this. It's like Roller Coaster Tycoon is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
But
that's
then I read
right.
it and I was like, this is not what this game is at all. I'm just going to try to.
That was an awesome fucking lead in, Jeff. Awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I thought really hard all 2 seconds before I read the news.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure you strained yourself there.
Worked right in there. Shit. You get
that's why I asked for the raise.
And you got it.
But,
yeah.
Double your salary.
That's right. Cashed in.
Why don't we take a break?
All right.
Yeah, and we'll come back and
we'll
talk about...
I think I'm going to go on a roller coaster while we're waiting.
Yeah.
You know what's even better? You know what? It's probably better. Just look up roller coasters on YouTube. You know when people now videotape them, like first person view?
Yeah.
That's probably more exciting.
Put like a music video together. A compilation, like theme parks across the U.S.
I seriously am going to Canada's Wonderland next week, though. That wasn't a lie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Jason, what? Have you heard the new commercials that they've got, the new commercial campaign they've got for Six Flags?
Possibly.
The whole more flags, more fun thing?
No, I don't think I've heard that.
It's retarded.
Is it?
It's like, Six Flags has Six Flags. And, you know, this has no flags. More flags, more fun. I'm like...
Well, that makes perfect sense.
Right. That makes total sense.
I am getting a season pass, though, this year.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
I love roller coasters.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, me too.
I hate heights, but I love roller coasters. Have we actually officially gone for the break now, or is this actually still recording for the actual show?
No, we're still recording, because I was trying to lead into that, and
we never
got
on tangents.
To it. All right, we're taking a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about game length, new releases, do some emails, and we'll do the new question of the week. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Our next feature might be podcast length, the way we're going.
We keep joking. You know, when I was a kid, I was a hardcore gamer. There wasn't a single game that I owned that I didn't beat, and I was good. Heck, I could beat Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. One guy. But then the kids came and the responsibilities. I just didn't have the time or the motivation to keep up. My game backlog just kept growing and growing with each new release. I needed help. So I visited the Game Backlog Support Group on VG Evo. They helped me take control of my backlog.
The VG Evo Game Backlog Support Group is a non-profit organization helping gamers relieve their backlog troubles. Having a game backlog is a debilitating and embarrassing predicament. VG Evo is here to help.
I no longer have to lie about the video games I've played. I can finally say with confidence, yes, I have beat Devil May Cry. And you know what? Nero is a whiny bitch.
If you or someone you know is suffering from their game backlog, please contact www.vgevo.com.
Welcome back.
Ooh.
Welcome.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Mr. Carter. Mr. Carter.
Miss Carter.
All right. Well, I got myself a fresh beer, so I think I'm ready to take on this the rest of this podcast thing that we're doing.
Mine's almost gone. Come on. Hurry up.
Let's do this.
Cool. Well, we wanted to talk about this week. We wanted to talk about what is the right length of a game. And, yes. Of course, it all depends on the game, right? So,
pretty much.
But I think we got pretty good feedback on this one, didn't we?
Not bad, actually. Yeah, we got a handful of emails, and we even have a voicemail. I'm so excited.
Yeah. We're all high-tech and Morty. Fancy and stuff.
I'm so excited, I'm going to play it right now. Here we go.
Okay, cool.
Hey, Indus crew. This is Adam, also known as the Shagohod on the Vision Evo forum. I've got a few quick thoughts on the question of the week regarding game length. In general, I like games that are long, and if I'm enjoying a game, then I'm probably not in a huge hurry to reach its end. However, that doesn't mean that I want to do a lot of backtracking or fight the same boss a second and third time.
Devil May Cry 4.
I play a lot of RPGs, and it seems like the ones that really stand out have a strong main quest that's long enough to tell a story that is equally compelling. And I like it when that is added to by side quests along the way that make the game longer. And, you know, this is good because it allows me to play the game at my own pace, and if I'm getting bored with the side quest, then I can move the story forward. But aside from all that, I think I would like to see some kind of new game plus functionality in, like, every RPG. That way, if I like a game, I can play it a second time and have it be different or enjoyable in some way. Anyways, really like the podcast. I'm enjoying it. I love the forums. Keep up the good work. Bye.
We love you, too.
Cool. Thanks.
Shagohod.
Awesome. What's that?
Is that Shagohod?
Shagohod? Yeah. Is that how he says it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Shagohod?
I couldn't really tell through the voicemail. It was kind of scratchy, but that's all right.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, no backtracking. I totally agree.
I can't stand backtracking.
That's a cheap way of extending length, isn't it?
Yeah, and yep. I'm going through that right now with...
with your penis extension?
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah.
What?
No, Castlevania Harmony of Innocence, is that the one that it is? Whatever Harmony one is, I don't remember. But there's just
a moment to Harmony.
There's a ridiculous amount of backtracking in this game, and it's really messed up. And I know that the Metroid Prime games have suffered from this in the past to make it artificially longer and stuff like that. So yeah, totally
Metal
agree
Gear
with that.
Solid.
What's that,
Jeff?
Metal Gear Solid. Those games have a ton of backtracking in them. For some reason, not too minding it too much. I don't know why. But yeah, you're always running back and forth from the same areas that you've already been to get new items or whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the thing.
But I didn't really notice it before, so I don't know if it was really...
It's done well.
Extend length rather than
I think
they were kind of limited
it's how they do it. Because you wouldn't say there's a lot of backtracking in like Ninja Gaiden, but there you do revisit a lot of the same areas. But that's just kind of the way they make the game. So
yeah.
But it's... I don't know. It's hard to say in that situation. It's if going back actually like moves the story forward and it's not like a hard stop, it's like, oh, you can't open this door yet. And by the way, you can't open this door yet either, or this one, but you can go this way.
Right.
And then you have to go and find a specific key and come back. And yeah, that's BioShock. That's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of backtracking. It all depends on the pacing and how they do it. If they're just going to send you back through an area you've already been to and not change anything, I can't stand that. But if they're going to give you a new item or something that's like something that changes the gameplay while you're going through it for the second time or third time, then I don't mind that because it keeps things interesting and fresh. But some games that just do it for that you know, just for the cheapness of it all.
Yeah.
Right. And I guess that's why I didn't mind it so much in Devil May Cry. Granted, you were fighting some of the same bosses, but there was always like a great cutscene right before and after. And you're always getting really cool weapons afterwards. So it kept me moving. I mean, granted, it was fairly transparent that we were going in the exact reverse order of what I just went through. But
yeah.
At the end of it, I was okay.
And it helps that, like, the second time through, you're playing as Dante, and he just, like, rips through everything.
Right.
So it's more like it's almost more like a them like making fun of the bosses at that point, because it's like, oh, here's Dante and he'll just kill everything, so no big deal.
Hmm.
But
yeah, I have to agree. I think in general, yeah, the way the reason why it's done is just to
extend the life
artificially
of the
extend length.
Yeah, right? I agree.
I agreed what he had said about the combat in RPGs. RPGs are tough because there's usually, well, not usually, but a lot of times there's a lot of grinding involved, and yeah, that's a huge portion of the game, and they've really got to get a good hook with that to keep me in it.
Yeah. When it comes to that kind of thing, it really depends on if the combat is fun.
Right.
Like we were talking about Phantasy Star 4 a lot. I mean, the combat was really good in Phantasy Star 4, and I talk about Rogue Galaxy a lot. You know, I really liked the combat in Rogue Galaxy, so, you know, every once in a while, if I had to stop and grind, it wasn't that big of a deal to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Indeedy.
Well, we're going to touch on RPGs a lot, I think, because I think a lot of people have mentioned it. So let's, you want to continue on, and we'll keep touching on RPGs as we go through?
Indeed. Sure. Yes, there's plenty of opportunity. First email, traditional email, is from Ricky Duty. Hey, buddy. Mm-hmm. Length of games. This is weird for me because no matter what people say about how much time you had as a kid and now, I think that it's all bullshit. Smiley face. Just said smiley face. If you really like the game that much, you'll always find a way to go back and finish it. For me, as for the total playtime itself, I find it weird that games that I truly and completely enjoy from start to finish, I feel like they're always too short. Look at Dark Sector. Amazing game. I went through that game completely in about a week. Okay, I'm at the last boss. He's not really through it. And being there in such a short amount of time, I feel like it was too short. I'd say that for my style of play, it depends. Like you guys mentioned, by genre, I'd say RPGs would have to be very long. And I mean long by story, not just battle. 30 hours maybe. I don't know. I've clocked 100 hours into Final Fantasy VII, so I can't really say. But regular action-adventure games, I think 15 hours is a happy medium for me as long as the story stays interesting. Heavenly Sword was way too short, but oh well. A couple of more hours on that game would have been great. Same with Dark Sector. I'm a hard person to please. I want my good games longer. That's all I'm trying to say. Thank you, Ricky.
Heavenly Sword was too short.
Really?
I think so,
I didn't think it was too short.
I would have liked to have seen more. I think the way they did it, it worked with the length that it was, but I would have liked to have seen more of it because I actually had a lot of fun with the combat. I thought the story was great. The acting was great, you know, and, you know, I actually liked a lot of the character development that they did in it. And I wish it was longer.
So at no point in the game, you were like, okay, probably don't need this in the game. Let me just get to the end.
I think the only thing that really annoyed the crap out of me in Heavenly Sword was the second time that you have to fight, what's his name? The weird dude with the blades on his back. I can't remember his name.
I can't remember his name either.
But that battle was pretty much the only part of Heavenly Sword that was really like, come on, you know, but the rest of it I thought was fantastic. I mean, I thought the final boss battle, was pretty epic considering. I mean, it was kind of tedious. I mean, if you think about it, because you had to fight three forms of a boss, but I mean, there's a lot of games that do that. So it's not like that's not commonplace in most areas, but I mean, I liked it all the way through. So I would not have minded if it was longer. Not at all.
Really?
See,
I really wish they would have fleshed out Noriko's character more.
Mm.
I don't know. Sorry. I cut Jeff.
That's all right.
It happens. I think the reason I liked Heavenly Sword as much as I did is because of it was short. I think if the gameplay drawn out was like maybe another hour could have been nice to like flesh out more of the storyline parts or whatever. But in terms of the actual gameplay, towards the end it was kind of getting like, okay, it's getting really repetitive. I wouldn't mind if it kind of ends. And because it did kind of end shortly after that, you know, that emotion hit me with that game, I was like, that's why I liked it, because it ended, I think, at the perfect time. Where if it was drawn in a little bit more, I probably would have disliked it, like, a lot more, most likely. I think that was, like, for that game, I thought it was the perfect length. They didn't draw it out too long, like a lot of games tend to do.
Okay. What do you think about what he said with action-adventure games for, like, about 15 hours long?
That's fine with me. Yeah. Then again, I'm biased because time for gaming again is really low. So the shorter the game, I'm not going to say the shorter the better, but the shorter a game is, the more chance I have of beating it without moving on to something else, without getting bored of it first or whatnot, or going away for a couple days and forgetting where I am or anything. But yeah, I'd say an action adventure, I would obviously expect to be a little bit longer than a straight up action game or even a shooter. So I'd say between 15 and 20 hours is pretty good and reasonable. I mean, some people love 40 hour long games. I personally don't, because chances are I won't stick with it for 40 hours.
Mm-hmm. Right. I kind of agree with you on the action adventure games. And then with things like shooters and stuff, you know, we'll probably touch on this later, but you know, it really depends on the genre. The action adventure games, like I kind of put Heavenly Sword in there because that's what it is. It's an action game. Mm-hmm. And I think for that type of game, like Heavenly Sword, God of War, that type of thing, like 8 to 12 is pretty good, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If there's more of an adventure side of it, where there's like more hunting for items and, you know, that kind of thing, I would say that, you know, anywhere like 15 to 20, like you said, is probably pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as it advances storyline, I don't mind it. It's the long, drawn-out parts where nothing happens and, like we said earlier, just making it long for the sake of making it longer, that's when I don't like it. Yeah. Like, yeah, just, yeah. If I'm bored, if I'm doing the same thing for more than, say, half an hour without getting something new or something kind of new story progression, that's usually when I tend to be like, okay, I want something new now. I need to see something happen. Something's got to change, or else I'm playing something else.
Gotcha.
ADD to the max.
I'm going to move on to another email. This one's from Dizzy, and he writes, doop-doop-dee-doop. I don't know if that's how it's actually pronounced, but doop-doop-dee-doop. I think all of the people complaining that a game's too long need to shut up and put up. If you have checked before buying, you wouldn't have had the damn problem. What's wrong with having more game for the same amount of cash? If the game is bad, then you don't have to finish it. If the game is good, you want more. If the game is bad, then the length is the least of your worries. Just to insert what MC said on Broadcast Gamer, he summed everything up perfectly. Now, Diz, I'm sorry, actually, I didn't have time to lift anything from old MC. Chris, did you listen to that episode?
I did, and Dizzy kind of sums up what MC said, and for the most part, that, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, if you think, however many hours Final Fantasy XII is, you know, if that's too much for you, then just don't buy it. I mean, I think Final Fantasy XII is going to be too long for me, and I bought it anyway, but it's because I still want to experience the game. At least so whether bit. Or not I ever finish it, that's a different story altogether. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at least I have it and I experienced it and I can say I've played it and I liked it. And he's right that if it's a really good game, it'll keep you coming back and you'll want more. And my perfect example for that right now would probably be either, I'm not going to say that again, so I'll come back to that later, but, how about Mass Effect? Mass Effect was really short if you went straight through the story, but my first time through, I did all the side quests and I played for 40 hours and just like Jeff said, when he was saying he just didn't want to finish it because he didn't want it to end. That's how it was for me. I didn't want it to end. And then I went back and I actually played through it a second time and I put another 30 hours into it. So, you know, for me, it's like the length of that type of game doesn't matter if the game is compelling enough to keep my attention.
Right.
At this point, Final Fantasy XII has not kept my attention.
Mm-hmm. I'm really, really glad that you brought up Mass Effect, because I think that's a perfect example of getting what you put in. You know, you take away exactly how much effort you put in. If you just want to go through the storyline, some people do. That's fine. You know, and they can breeze through that game. But, you know, for crazy people like us who want to complete every mission and, you know, go through all the planets and, you know, we have that.
And explore everything and look for every mineral that you that you can find and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's excellent example.
This mentions the whole like cost per length kind of thing, like more gaming for your buck. But I don't like judging, like, if a game's $60, if a game's 40 hours, doesn't make it more worth it than a game that's 5 hours long to me. It's like, if I'm satisfied from my experience, I'm satisfied. It's like, was worth the money. So, like, a lot of games are way too long. Like, I think, like, I've never beaten, like, I didn't beat Twilight Princess. Loved the game for what I played, but again, a lot of backtracking that game too. And just after a while, I was like, hey, I know this game's like 40 hours long. I'm not going to get through the whole thing. I mean, in my eyes, I would have wished I beat it, but at the same time, for that to happen, it would probably have to be a bit shorter. But either way, I still think I got my money's worth for what I played from it. Mm-hmm. So I don't think, and I think I got money's worth from Heavenly Sword as well. Sure, I could have beaten it in a weekend by renting it, but that's something different.
Right. Now, well, I got Heavenly Sword for free. Granted, I didn't play through the entire thing, but I would have a tough time paying $60, you know, for a game that I only play for, you know, 6 to 8 hours. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's shorter than that.
It's 6 hours. You can beat it in 5 hours if you're really quick about it.
And replay value?
There is some, because you can go back and get all the combos and stuff, because you unlock combos by performing other combos in combat,
right?
And doing certain things. So there is some replay value, but it's not a whole lot.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a $60 game to me.
See, I was satisfied with the purchase personally, but yeah, that's just me. And I didn't mind the fact that it was short, because I did enjoy it so much.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter to me. Sorry, Chris, just before I forget this train of thought here. Like, a game to me, if it's 40 hours, yes, that's long, but me playing a shorter game, like say I played through Gears of War 2 or 3 times. I played through like God of War 1 and 2 multiple times, and those are relatively short games. But I played those for the amount of time I would have played any 40-hour game easily. So that's another way of looking at it. Like, do I play the one game 40 hours that's I'm not really interested in, doesn't hold my attention? Is that worth $60, or is the game worth $6 a game that's 6 hours long, but I've played through it 3 or 4 times?
Right. Yeah. A lot of this is just kind of relative.
Yeah.
It's going to depend on the person.
For sure.
All right. Emails. Ace is high. He says, hello, Indus crew. Well, with all the time I have left over from playing these short games, make Hayes pun here. I thought I would stop by to say a few things about how short games are getting. The first-person shooter crowd has been getting shorter and shorter ever since the next-gen consoles became current-gen. Games like Call of Duty 4, while it had a fantastic campaign, it was only about 6 hours long, which by anyone's standards is lowballing it in the length category. It seems that when consoles become more powerful, developers spend all their time making the engine and not enough time actually making the game. Can Call of Duty 4's short campaign be attributed to the time Infinity Ward actually spent developing the engine? Do I expect Call of Duty 6's campaign, that's the next one to be developed by Infinity Ward, to be longer than 4's? Hell yes, I do, and everyone should expect it to be longer. Game length may not be a problem for the older gamers. What? But as a teenager who spends most of his money buying games, it seems like more of a ripoff than anything else. I will, of course, continue buying games, because frankly, it's one of my loves in life. But while game length may continue to get shorter, is there really anything that we can do about it? Thank you, Ace.
I see two extremes here.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to wait until you read Ace's High to mention this. Games like what he mentioned, like the action games and the first-person shooter games, are getting shorter. And all the RPGs are getting longer, it seems. Like all the traditional style RPGs, like Final Fantasy 12. I mean, how long do you think Final Fantasy 13 is going to be? I mean, I would guarantee you that it's going to be at least in the 60s. You know,
I have to disagree about the RPGs getting longer. I think they've been that way for an awfully long time.
Yeah, I guess so. It's mainly been, you know, from the ever since they moved to disc-based format.
Okay.
Is when it really started happening. Like Final Fantasy VII was the first one that people say, "Oh, I put 100 hours into this game." You know, you don't hear many people say that about Final Fantasy VI.
I totally did. Yeah, trying to get Ultima. Did you really? And yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if not more so. I definitely put in more in Final Fantasy VII, but I know that I put at least 100 hours into VI.
Wow, that's
just because I wanted to, you know, get everything that I possibly could.
Max out all your spells.
Yup. Well,
look at like Japanese RPGs, maybe Western RPGs are probably getting shorter because look at Mass Effect. You can beat the main story in Mass Effect.
True.
I said, my friend beat it in 8 hours or 10 hours or whatever. And even Oblivion, if you just want to do this main quest in Oblivion, you can beat that in like probably 10-15 hours. Hmm. I'd say more about 15, but then it's what you, like Jason said, it's what you put into it.
Yeah, it's
like,
what you want to get out
Chris
of it.
Chris is like, well, Final Fantasy VI, you can't put 60 hours in. Jason's like, well, I actually want to get every little thing, and it's possible to do. So maybe this more stayed more consistent. Just kind of RPGs is just one of those games where, unlike a linear game that forced you to go from A to B to C, it gets to do a bunch of other things. So it's basically you can make the game as long as you want, per se.
True.
Well, on the other hand, Chris, I do completely agree with you about the length of first person shooters. But perhaps you'd like to comment more.
Well, what he said about Call of Duty 4 and you know, he asked the question if it was that they were putting so much time developing the engine. For Call of Duty 4, I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think they put all their time into the multiplayer aspect of it.
Right.
Because the multiplayer of Call of Duty 4, there's a reason that is the most played game on an Xbox Live right now.
Oh, yeah. And, that's great.
They made the 6-hour campaign to satisfy, you know, people that wanted to play a single player, but the real meat of this game is multiplayer, and I think most people that play it know that.
Mm-hmm. And the quick 6 hours it is extremely intense, that entire 6 hours.
True, very
Call
true.
Call of Duty 2 is the same way. It'd be hard to draw that out over like a 10 to 15 hour first person shooter, and it might even get tiresome after a while. You're like, holy crap, give me a break for a little bit. And you mentioned the younger versus older. I think that's kind of true. Like all the young, when we were younger, like again, you had to save up your money. You'd buy 2 or 3 games a year, if that, and you'd want to play them for as long as you want. But I think also then, because of like that, we had less of a tendency to nitpick games that had problems like backtracking or item collecting, things that took a long time to do. And now we just look at them as being tedious tasks because we're like, okay, we've done this before. We know this isn't the actual meat of the game. Let's like, you know, we're more involved in like the story. We want to play like as much as you can in a little amount of time. I just think, and Ace, you'll see, like if you're just a teenager right now, you'll see in like a few years, you most likely won't have a thing for longer games versus short, or you might still like longer games, but I think you'll have much more appreciating a good short game. That is just like everything you want with no kind of like BS that comes with it. It's like you're just kind of standards kind of not raised. I guess not standards, but like I said, like when you're younger, you're a lot more lenient towards things that are kind of monotonous and repetitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're trying to get more out of the game, and it's like I remember when Chrono Trigger came out. Chrono Trigger, the first time you go through it, it's only like it's less than 20 hours long. I know that. Mm-hmm. And then you can turn around and you can go through it again with your characters at all the same level, I believe, if I remember right. And then you blow through it and you try and get one of one of the other 15 endings or whatever. And, that's one of those games where, you know, if you're putting down at that time, it was like $80 to buy this game. Yeah. You want to try and get everything you can out of it. So, you know, you're not going to mind doing the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It's a different mindset altogether, I think.
Yeah, and you're not sitting here every week going like, playing this game now and new releases next week. You're like, oh, I got to pick up this game and like this game and whatever. And
yeah,
that's just like the worst thing to do. Actually, if I have any kind of advice for younger gamers that are still going on like 3 or 4 games a year, if you can even do that when you start working full time and can afford like expensive habit, try to stick with that. Try to stick with only buying a few games a year, because you're going to get to the point where you get kind of like jaded like us and be like, oh my God, games are too long and can't play this because I'm backtracking. Oh my God, I hate it.
But what's our big reasoning for that? Because we can't play them all. It's like we had, that's why our backlog, that's why we're doing the backlog support group, because we can't get through all the shit that we buy.
Exactly, because we're stupid.
Yeah. We're a bunch of idiots, that's why. That's how it works.
Well, do we have anything else to comment on Aces High?
Do you have anything you want to throw out? You sound like you do.
No, no, not really. No, I agree.
You just have to poo.
What's that?
It's either that or you just have to poo, one or the other. Good? All right,
yeah, cool, I'm good. Stuff. I had my Depends on.
I was just thinking he was wearing his Depends. All right, let's move on.
Ever since that fight with Mike Tyson and stuff, and like I didn't want to miss a moment, and I started wearing Depends. It was very freeing. It's really hard to get used to pooping yourself, though.
Can we move on?
Just kind of feels unnatural.
Can we go back to the game talk and away from the poo talk,
please? Speaking of being young, or speaking of being old.
All right, this one's from RPT. He says, "G'day, Indus crew. I feel the game should be as long as they need to be to tell the story, show off the gameplay, fulfill the developer's vision, or whatever. The length is not so much of an issue for me, but rather the pacing of the game is more important."
Agreed.
If you have a solid 6 hours of game, I don't want that padded out with another 4 hours of mediocrity. Mm-hmm. Uncharted got this almost perfect.
Agreed.
At around 8 hours, it kept me engaged by switching between shooting and platforming, with the odd puzzle or driving sequence thrown in for good measure. Mm-hmm. Lost Winds, at 3 hours long, also got this right. Just as you got comfortable with your current abilities, they would introduce new stuff to keep it fresh and interesting. I know I'm going to take some flack for this, but I think Portal, at 3 hours long, was too long. The last level really felt like it dragged on once I started recycling puzzles. Granted, I'm only talking about 10 to 15 minutes of time here, but I could have done without it. Final Fantasy XII is probably one of the worst offenders of being overly long that I've played in recent times. There were huge chunks of that game where I just felt like nothing was going on, and you were just going through the motions. Now, I'm not saying games should be shorter, but the core game should have a lot of the padding taken out. In addition, I would like to see more games looking for ways to extend the play after finishing them with Game Plus modes and the like. And that is from RPT.
I 100% agree with his email.
He's going with stuff.
Yeah, that's pacing is the number one thing. Like I said earlier, it's how it's paced and when they give you stuff. And one big pet peeve of mine are the games that give you everything at the beginning of a game, then after that level, wipe you out. Like Metroid and Assassin's Creed was like that. You have all these awesome...
Like, you're talking about like the new Metroids? Or?
Yeah, like the new and even the old Metroids. Okay. You know, you'd start out with all your abilities, and then you get to like a certain point, and all of a sudden something happens, and you lose all your abilities, and then you slowly get them throughout the game. Yeah. The reason why I don't like that is because when you're getting them, you're not really getting them new, because you've already experienced it, and then it's kind of like a big cock tease.
Right.
The Witch. Yeah, and then I'd rather them just not show you any of that cool stuff. So when you get them, you're like, oh, this is cool. And then it feels new and fresh instead of being like, okay, when am I going to get this item? Because that would be really cool right now. When am I going to get this? Because I could use that. You know what I mean? It's just kind of...
Yeah, it's even worse when you get to an area that you know exactly what you need and it's been taken away from you. Like like the grapple, in for instance, in Metroid Prime. You know, and I think it was like... one of the first two primes, maybe even both of them, you start out with the grapple and then you lose it. And it's like, shit, the grapple, I could use it here and go over and get that item and you don't have it.
No,
it's like,
can't.
You know, fuck you guys for taking it away from me.
That's, I don't know. That's, and story, like, that's why I love God of War as well. I think the pacing's done perfectly in it and what you get, what you open up, and just like one of those examples where they don't give you anything at the beginning. And don't take anything away. You just get cool stuff as you go on, and then they throw in storylines.
Well, God of War 2, they take away.
They do take away some stuff, yeah. But I mean, you got me there. But it's a good, good game. It does the storytelling really well.
So you can't say anything about that.
And you're still doing different stuff throughout the game. Like you'll be riding on Pegasus or whatever in one level, then you're just doing another standard level.
Oh, that level was so cool.
You're scaling a wall. Yeah, it's just stuff like that is just really cool. Just like. Yeah, if like I said, half an hour is kind of my limit. If I'm doing something for more than like half an hour to an hour, and nothing's changed, that's when I tend to kind of get bored.
Yeah.
Which is also, I think, kind of why I think I lost interest in Okami after a while. Because Okami did give you new skills every once in a while, but there was this drag of about 2 or 3 hours where nothing, like exactly like you were saying, or like RPG was saying about Final Fantasy XII, I just felt like nothing was happening.
Yeah.
And that's when I stopped playing it.
He did mention Portal and it being too long, and I was wondering about this at first, and I was like, what are you talking about? But he, after thinking about it a while, that last stage is really fucking long.
Yeah, I haven't beat it yet.
I know. Hurry up. But, it is still very much worth the experience. And another thing I wanted to comment about is that he talks about like the game plus modes at the end of his email.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of games that do this and do it well. Mass Effect is actually one of them to an extent, because you can actually go back and play through the game again with your previous character. You can make a new character. And if you actually got like the achievements for instance, I played a soldier the first time and I got all the achievements for the guns, like 150 kills with each gun. And if you do that, you actually can get that as a skill for your new character, no matter what class you get them as. So, you know, that's why when we talked about like when we did the Mass Effect episode a while back, and I had this chick that was mainly biotics, but she could run around and kill people with assault rifles. And that's all because I went through and played it as a soldier. And then there's like, Rogue Galaxy does that too. They have like a ghost ship that you can hit after you beat the game. That's like 100 levels long or something like that. The biggest problem with that type of mode though, is that I find that I look at it and I'm like, man, that sounds like it'll be really fun when I get there. And then I beat the game and I get that, you know, moment of satisfaction, and I just never get around to those modes.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. I have a big problem with that, and I don't know what it is. I did the same thing with Twilight Princess, because Twilight Princess has that huge dungeon that's like 100 and something levels or whatever. Mm-hmm. And after I beat the game, I was like, oh, maybe I should go back and try that. And I never get around to doing it. I'm just like, I've already beaten the game. I'm done. And, you know, I don't know. Yeah,
the thought of that just irks me. 100 like floor dungeon does not appeal to me at all.
Yeah. It really depends on if you're intrigued by the gameplay.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, for both of those games, I actually love the gameplay, and it's just I'm actually disappointed that I haven't gone back to Rogue Galaxy to play the ghost ship. Cause I've heard a lot, cause you get a lot of cool items and stuff after you finish it.
You also mentioned achievements, and I think that, as well as the trophy system that PSN is going to be integrating soon, I think that's also going to help out those moments in games where you feel like you're not doing anything. Because if you're doing something that's kind of grinding or whatnot, just look up, if the achievements are done right, look up the achievement you can do while you're doing this grinding or while you're not really doing too much, so it gives you something to kind of work for. And I think that's kind of really taken off too, to make people kind of get the most out of those moments or boring moments in games, to kind of give them a kind of goal to work for.
I agree with you. I mean, I definitely think achievements are help in situations like this. And a lot of people,
when done right, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people have issues with achievements, and you know, they think they're stupid or whatever, and I'm like, I personally think that it's more about the achievements within a specific game than it is about a specific gamer score.
Exactly.
And I don't want to go off on that tangent, but as you said, if they're done right, it's a lot of fun to try and get them. And, Uncharted, he mentioned, which, you know, with the pacing and everything, Uncharted also has the built-in achievements that are, you know, actually makes you interested to go through the game again for
That's
some people.
That's debatable.
Yeah, well, it's debatable for you because you weren't a big fan of the game, but.
No. I actually think the game itself is great. If you're into that kind of thing, it didn't do a lot for me, but I mean, really, what was the big draw of going through to get those achievements? I mean, you unlocked some videos, right?
Mm-hmm. Did you also unlock bonus modes and stuff, I think.
Such as? I can't remember.
It's been a while since I read about them, but I know that, like, I just think that's
a forced way of increasing the game length. Mm-hmm. I think it's artificial.
Or replayability.
Yeah. Yeah, replayability. That's just
and when stuff is collectathons, I don't like them at all. And that's what technically that's what Uncharted was with its achievements, was how many of those treasures you can find. And I think I actually went looking for the first two or three, and then I was like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. And I never was compelled to do it again.
Yeah, I actually, you know, well, I actually that's got just like, my, I got what? Like 36 of them or so.
I'm the guy who, I hate inventory management. I hate looking for things like that aren't integral to the actual story or to advance the storyline of a game. So that kind of thing to me just does not, it just doesn't appeal at all. That would never make me replay a game like, oh my God, I got to go play Mario Galaxy through again because I want to make sure to get all those red coins. So I open up Luigi. I'm like, I just couldn't care less.
Yeah. Don't make me go through the game again. Just give me additional modes. Give me additional levels or something like that. Give me some new gameplay, something.
Yeah. Actually, you mentioned Super Mario Galaxy, and when I actually got to the end of it, and you guys remember me talking about how after you get 120 stars, you switch over and you can use Luigi. I was, you know, for the first, like, the first area that I did, the first, like, that first, like, observatory that I went into, I was really excited to use Luigi. And I was like, oh, you know, this is pretty cool. It plays entirely different and all this other stuff. And I just never went back to it. It's like, and it's exactly what you said. That was, it took a long time to do that. And I just didn't want to do it again. I would have rather have just had the special 121st star stage. That would have made me happy. Mm-hmm. So I see where you're coming from, and I guess it really, in my point of view, it really depends on the game itself and how I felt about playing it. Yeah. I didn't like Uncharted was a game that wasn't so incredibly long or badly paced. Since RPG is talking about the pacing, it wasn't incredibly badly paced where I wouldn't mind going back and playing it again. Right. Whereas Mario Galaxy, I have no desire to go and collect 100 purple coins on every fucking stage again.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, the games that give you more of an experience, like a cinematic experience, like, I don't know. I think probably 5 years down the road, like I'd go through Uncharted again, just to kind of go through it and experience the same storyline. Whereas I don't think that, you know, the gameplay in like Super Mario Galaxy is going to keep me coming back.
Yeah.
Certainly less of a storyline, certainly less of a cinematic
experience.
Experience from it. So.
Gotcha.
Oh, for sure. And when you come back for a game years later, it's almost like brand new, like Beyond Good and Evil and the Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2 for me, it's been so long that you just literally forget so much of it. And you're just like, wow, it's almost like new again.
Yeah. I agree with that too. Mm-hmm. I agree with that too. So what do we think about game length then? Are games getting too long? Are they too short? What do we think?
Well, I mean, I can go back to what I said last week and that, you know, I'm older now and I just have less time and, I don't know. I'm liking, you know, I hate to keep going back to Uncharted, but really the pacing was great in that. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't care as much about the storyline. That's beside the point. I thought they did a really, really good job of, you know, presenting said story.
Right.
It's tough with RPGs now. You know, while I had such a fondness for them back in the day, they're just too much of a time sink now because they're all, you know, everyone wants to have on the back of the box. They want to see that, you know, over 60 hours of gameplay. Yeah. I'm like, holy shit, man.
30 hours, you're going to be looking at a license
plate. I see that on the back of the box, and I'm like, I kind of put it back sometimes.
Jeff, that was well placed.
It's true.
It is very true, and that's probably what's keeping me from going back to FF12.
Yeah, I had a couple hours to play the other day. I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and spend an hour upgrading all my dudes. Sorry. Yeah,
why? You know, it's sad because I would love to have, you know, that shorter RPG, you know, because they spend so much time on, you know, the story and they really flesh it out. But it's so bogged down with battle now. It's,
yeah, I know.
And that's actually one of the reasons I actually want to go and play Eternal Sonata because I haven't gotten around to it. And now that that it's been said that game's not even, it may not ever come to America for PS3, then, you know, I may just break down and go out and get the 360 version and play it that way. But that game is apparently only like 18 to 20 hours or something like that. It's a shorter RPG.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
And I played the demo and I thought the combat was a lot of fun. And that's, you know, when you have an RPG and that's a lot of what you're doing is that combat, the combat better be good. If it's not good, then good.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't remember when I mentioned it, but you know, we went to EB one day and there was Magna Carta sitting on the shelf, special edition in like perfect condition, and Crystal fell in love with it. And I was like, all right, cool. Well, you know, I've actually wanted to try this out anyway, and I picked it up, and the combat sucks in the game. And so so there's no compelling reason for me to play it at all. I played it for like 3 hours and got so sick of the combat that I didn't want to deal with it anymore. Mm-hmm. But then with a game like Mass Effect, where it's actually fun to go into the missions and do the combat and that kind of thing, you know, I'll play that all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think that the sweet spot for RPGs now is basically do it. And I think the most of them are doing it this way is make the main storyline roughly about 20 hours, maybe 20 to 25, but have it up to the player to do all these side missions. Don't make them tacked on side missions that are crap. Give them something to like work for or whatnot. But if you want to do them, do them. If not, don't worry about it. So people like grumpy old men like us can go ahead and, you know, beat our game in 20 hours, and people who like to play a game for 40, 50 hours can go ahead and do that as well. Because I don't think it really matters to them, like, what they're getting out of. Like, they're getting 40, 50 hours. Does it matter to them whether the main storyline takes that long to beat or that they're actually just enjoying the game for 40 hours?
Right. Yeah, I think it really depends on the game. And, you know, that's one of the things where, again, if the game is compelling, you know, you'll want to do the side quests. And that's kind of the way it was with, you know, as much as I complained about how cookie cutter the side quests were in Mass Effect, I still went and fucking did them all.
Yeah.
You know, I still can't figure out why, but and the only thing I keep coming back to is I love the combat. You know, it's like, sure, there's imperfections in the way they do it, but it still was fun to do. And, you know, I keep going back to the same too. Rogue Galaxy had a shit ton of side missions that you could do. And I did probably about half of them and put 60 some odd hours into that game. And it was to the point where, you know, if I woke up early in the morning and I had like an hour before I went to work, I would play Rogue Galaxy for an hour. Yeah. And then I would go to work.
See, I have a tough time with that, especially in RPGs, you know, because I do have small windows in which I can play. And you know, those types of games, I actually just want to sit down and invest in and like spend a few hours.
Exactly, like me.
Quality time.
Trust me, there are times when it's very hard.
Yeah.
You sit down, it's like, damn it, I have to go to work. It's like, okay, 5 more minutes. You know, and it's one of those things. And those are the days that I'm like a half an hour late to work, and you just kind of stroll, and it's like, hey, everybody, you know.
Playing Rogue Galaxy, you know.
That's right. All right, so we determined that backtracking sucks.
Yeah.
We determined that pacing is very important. If the pacing is right, the length may or may not matter at that point.
Doesn't matter. Game could be 100 hours. If it's paced well enough to keep me, you know, keep my attention for all that 100 hours without me thinking, God damn, when's this going to end?
Yeah.
Or I want to play something else. Good to me.
Yeah.
I agree.
And we kind of covered, you know, what we think different genres should have as far as like, as far as length goes. And, you know, RPGs are the biggest abuser of long games. But I think what Jeff said is exactly right. You know, if you can make the story around 20 to 30 hours and then put compelling side quests. I mean, they have to be compelling. They can't be just tacked on bullshit.
Indeed. Or fetch quests up the ass.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And shooters, same thing. It like 10 hours is fine. I think the reason Call of Duty 4 and stuff gets off with like 5 hours or 6 hours is because it has a kick-ass multiplayer, which can basically doesn't have a time tagged on it. So I think the way things are, I'm fine with the length as long as you're satisfied at the end of it, whether you played it for 3 hours or 60. That's all that really matters to me. And
correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we talked about like shooters and adventure games and RPGs. What about puzzle games? What's a good length for a puzzle game? I'm speaking facetiously here. Nobody's laughing. Fuck you.
What are you talking about? Puzzle Quest is a puzzle game.
That's funny. The first thing I thought of was Puzzle Quest. Yeah. I was like, wait, that actually does have an ending.
But then I started thinking afterwards,
I was like, wait a second.
I think Puzzle Quest was the perfect one.
Perfect one. Absolutely.
Enough time for me to take a poo.
Why do we keep going back to this subject? Cool. All right. Well,
because we're guys.
Any closing thoughts?
No. I don't know. Yeah, I think I'm good.
Stop with the backtracking fetch quest, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That shit's bad.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm an old man. I've only got a few hours. Let me have fun while I'm doing it.
And learn about pacing. Learn from Uncharted. Uncharted did it really well.
Yeah.
That's the one really thing, did. You know, no matter what you can say about Uncharted, whether you liked it or not, the game did pace very well. And, you know, mm-hmm. that's exactly what Jason said too. So.
Yeah. I mean, there was one part in it that I was like, okay, this is bring on the ending here. But it didn't last long, you know, much like RPT said in like Portal. It was a small portion of the game. So. Cool. I think that was, right. I think the Portal thing was mostly because, you know, that last level is so much longer so than long. The regular puzzle
levels.
Yeah,
it's that the, it seemed the out of last place. Level's like three times longer than the level before it.
But that's not saying much. You can breeze through it in like 5-10 minutes or something, or 15.
If you know exactly what you're doing, yeah, you could.
Yeah. Yeah, true. True. Mm-hmm. All right.
Cool. Well, let's move on to new releases.
Let's.
Shall we?
Yes.
All right, cool. So we'll start with the Wii.
Okay.
The Wii is getting a Blastworks Build, Trade, and Destroy, which apparently is like a side-scrolling shooter where you can customize and build levels and like ships and enemy ships and stuff like that. So
it's like a Katamari shmup. Because when you blow up ships, you integrate them into your ship and stuff, and you have this big, huge debris-filled ship at the end of it. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know.
Cool. Backyard Baseball 2009. Yay.
Yes.
Jake Hunter Detective Chronicles.
He's so cool.
Because there's not enough of these like murder mystery detective novel games out. My Fashion Studio. Jeff, sweet. This is your favorite.
I know.
You can like build a fashion studio and you start as an intern and yeah, whatever. I did.
You guys are going to like that one. I've already imported it.
Six Flags game.
Looney Tunes Cartoon Conductor, which is a music. It's a rhythm game that lets you conduct music to Looney Tunes cartoon scenes.
All right.
For the 360, Don King Presents Prize Fighter. You got to buy that just for the hair.
Does it have hair?
No. Talking about Don King's hair.
I know.
You get an imitation toupee of his hair.
See, inside. Then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Collector's Edition.
It's part of the special pre-order bonus.
Pack in.
That's one worth buying.
Deadliest Catch, Alaskan Storm.
Oh, my God. Milk.
Dragon Ball Z Burst Limit. And NASCAR 09.
Thank God.
And then PS3 is also getting Dragon Ball Z Burst Limit and NASCAR 09. Mm-hmm. And PS2 is getting NASCAR 09.
Is this the Turn Right edition or no?
No, I'm pretty sure this is the Turn Left edition.
Okay.
It's a Drive Fast Turn Left edition.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
That's all. I feel like I'm missing something.
This seems a little light.
Yeah. There's supposed to be something good coming out next week, and I don't see it on this list.
Well, you know, I never trust your list anyway.
That's not for a bit. I don't know what it could be.
Shoot.
Oh, man.
Oh. Something about guns. I'm remembering guns.
Patriotism?
Guns.
Patriotism with guns?
Yeah, there we go. I think we're on the right track here.
Cabala's Dangerous Hunt.
That's it.
There we go.
That's solid right there.
Totally solid.
That's right. You would say it's
good, like substance.
That's. I'm gonna have a drink of my liquid.
Okay, I think we've dragged this on long enough. So everybody who has a PS3 should be going out and buying Metal Gear Solid 4: Guns of Patriots next week.
Absolutely, yeah, damn right.
OMG, WTF, MGS4,
Metal Gear. That was my impression.
Metal Gear.
Ooh, there you go.
That was actually pretty good.
Metal Gear.
Liquid.
Sorry, that was terrible.
Cool. But that is your new release list for next week.
It's the first, dude, I'm so excited. This is like the first game on PS3 that I'm thinking is like, this is the PS3 game. You know what I mean? Like, this is it. Not like this is it, but I mean, like, this is like the big, huge thing.
This is huge.
Yeah. We were conspiring at work on how we were going to hit the midnight launch and, you know, take the day off the next day from work and play the game all day and that kind of thing. So
Chris is all like, "No, I go to work the next day," and I'm like, "You know, those sons of bitches at GameStop don't have any loyalty. They'll sell your collector's edition. They will.
Those bastards. Oh, yes.
First chance they can get.
Well, I'm getting.
You got to come to the midnight launch.
I think all three of us are getting the limited edition, aren't we?
Yeah. And like I said, I have next week off, so I'm not doing them. The only reason I'm not doing the midnight launch, well, I say this now, but I always end up
going.
You're gonna go.
You got the week off. You're weak. You're gonna go.
I'm planning on just getting it early in the morning on Thursday and playing it all day long.
Uh huh.
And
no, you're gonna get it at midnight on Wednesday night, and you're gonna play it all night long, and then you're gonna take a little nap, and then you're gonna play it all day.
Probably.
Stuff.
Yeah. Who's shitting who here? Come on.
Are you in love with the game, Jeff, already?
I will be. I didn't think I'd be hyped for it, but
battlefield.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I'm more excited than I thought I would be because I think part of the reason I didn't think I was going to be is because I haven't gotten through 3 yet, and I really need to go back and play that. I'm going to start doing that this week.
So. Starting that on Monday. I got it all planned out.
Like, I popped it in tonight, and I thought I'd have more time, and then I played it for 10 minutes, and then I had to do something else. I'm like, damn it. Getting sidetracked with my backlog shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know how that is.
Yeah.
You know, excitement level is very high on this end as well.
Extremely high. It jumped to, like, my most anticipated game this year. Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, I can't wait.
Well, I mean, this is, the word got out earlier in the week, or maybe it was last week, that Famitsu actually gave this game a perfect score.
I read that again. You know,
it's the first game on, you know, the high def consoles to get the perfect score.
The perfect score, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's only the eighth or something that they've given out. And
but, yeah, I am going to say though, it is Famitsu and they gave a perfect 40 to Nintendogs and Super Smash Brothers Brawl. They're not exactly, you know.
Well, I mean,
maybe people do think their 10s out there are perfect 40s in this case. Well, I guess 4 10s, but
I don't have any faults with those games. I think what they do.
Yeah, I don't either. I played Nintendogs.
Perfect for what they're intending, but. So.
Actually, Nintendogs is the main reason I have a dog right now.
Would you give it a 10?
Huh? Would I give it a 10?
Would you give it a 10?
I'm not a critic. I don't know. To be one, but. I'm not a big
fan of the number scores. I'd definitely give it an A somewhere if I was doing a letter score.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You know, I think it was very well done and, you know, it was very creative for what they were trying to pull off. I think they pulled it off very well.
Who are we to judge, Jeff? Really?
We're just gamers who have bullshit opinions.
Why don't we all just agree?
We just shat on hate. We shat on hate for half an hour. We judge everything.
Yeah, but see, shitting on Haze was fun.
It was more fun than playing the game. Like everywhere. It's not the only 10. I'm just saying Famitsu.
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
It's getting 10s from other publishers and stuff like that, and I'm sure it's going to get more. I'm just saying. Famitsu, I don't really have on.
Thank you, Mr. Devil's Advocate.
You're welcome.
All right, Jason, I'll pass it over to you for... I think we got one email, right? At least
one email. This is awesome. Very thought provoking. And it's not even from Nabo. This one's from Aces High. He says, this may be a bit random and to tell the truth, it is, but what is the favorite cereal of Indus?
Ooh.
Cereal. Wow. Breakfast cereal.
Favorite breakfast cereal of Indus.
Now, do we have to come up with like a combined, like we vote this one to be our cereal?
Because like, the flakes
or something, or
there's no debating about it. Okay. It's all about the Reese's Puffs, bitches.
Ooh, those are so good.
Those things are fucking awesome.
I haven't had them in years, but they were good. I was a big fan of Golden Grahams too, actually.
I'm all about the Reese's Puffs. Jason, come on.
Okay, all right. Current favorite is Raisin Bran Crunch, but I've got a sweet spot for Peanut Butter Crunch.
All right.
So something peanut buttery, maybe.
So
Reese's Puffs?
Reese's Puffs?
I was hoping Jeff would back me on the other one, but I guess not.
I haven't had the other one.
All right. Peanut Butter Crunch? Reese's Puffs.
And we might actually have a unanimous thing here. I was going to say, I'm like now I eat stuff like Raisin Bran. I really like it, but yeah. More because I don't want to eat the sugary
I eat
stuff.
Like the total Raisin Bran, which you have to eat mm-hmm. within the first 30 seconds of pouring milk into it because it gets soggy so mm-hmm. quickly.
Yep. Yeah. So yeah, I might have to go with either that or Golden Grahams, but just to make it unanimous, I won't be a dick this time. I'll go with Reese's Puffs, actually.
Fuck that, blueberry.
Count Chocula. What was the other one? There was one more.
Oatmeal. Actually, it's not really cereal.
Jason, what was the other one? There was one more.
There was one more?
Yeah, there was blueberry, Count Chocula, and there was one more.
Frankenberry.
Oh, Frankenberry.
There was also the wolf guy from way back in the day.
There's the ones they brought in later. Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that one. You guys remember Nintendo cereal?
Yes.
It's a cereal now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's for breakfast. Wow.
It's for breakfast now. Totally. We're lame. You know, like half people out there, like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Oh man!
I have a funny story about Count Chocula. Actually,
okay.
On my honeymoon, we went to Universal Studios at Halloween, and we went through this haunted house, and it was like some like gothic vampire stuff going on. Like they were raving at a club. It was weird, but we had this. You know how they kind of usher people through there? You go in a line, you walk through the house. There was a couple, and they had their young son who was dressed as a little vampire walking through this house, and one of the goriest vampires, very scary. Came jumping out and he went, Count Chocula, at the kid. And the kid freaked out. Lisa and I just lost our shit. It was so funny.
That's funny.
Yeah. Nice. All right, let's move along and wrap up.
All right.
Very original question, by the way. I like those.
Yeah, ones. We need more of that stuff. I love that.
Yeah, that's funny.
We don't get enough of that non-gaming stuff. So, thanks, Ace Asai.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what's our question of the week next week?
Metal Gear?
Well, I want to know what people remember the most about Metal Gear. Like, what fond memories do they have about Metal Gear?
I could fill on an entire show with that. Don't tempt me.
Well, I'm tempting. Yeah, there we go. Okay.
The first one was a big, big moment in my life.
Are you talking about like first one, like first Metal Gear or Metal Gear Solid?
I'm talking it's Metal Gear Solid. The first, it's kind of funny because Metal Gear Solid, I'll explain it next week, but yeah, both of the first one I played on Nintendo and then Metal Gear Solid both had equal amount of significance, but in different directions.
Save I'll it for explain the show, next Jeff. Week. Okay.
I will.
So there you go. What are your Metal Gear memories? Tell us.
Metal Gear memories. I like that. Know. That's better Where than were the you when they were retrospectives announced? That we see all over the place. So. We'll do some personal inflection.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, you guys can send in the answer to the question of the week or anything, really. You can ask us what our favorite breakfast cereal is, as was done today.
Can't ask again because we already told you.
That's right. You can't ask again, but you can find out, like, what's your favorite fruit? Or, I don't know.
Knowing us, even if they did ask again, we'll have a different answer.
Really
wrong, we'll totally change our mind. And next week, it'll be like Cheerios or I don't know. Email us at email at interactivedistractions.com. You can also get us on our voicemail line, which is 818-528-GAME. Mm-hmm. 818-528-4263. Long distance charges apply.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. You can get us on Skype, interactive distractions, all one word.
All lowercase. Sorry.
You're slipping, Jason. What happened?
Crunch berries.
We're also on Google Talk, interactivedistractions@gmail.com. Don't forget Warhawk Wednesdays, even though we didn't have one this week. And
we'll be better.
Very disappointed. Sorry. We'll do better next week, I promise.
We do good.
And don't forget to stop by VG Evo and check us out and say hi and check out the other podcasts on there. And actually, since I'm mentioning the other podcasts, this might be a good idea to talk about something really quick. We haven't done this yet, but we wanted to give a shout out to...
Oh, never mind. No, go ahead.
Okay.
What'd you say?
Huh?
Never mind. we kind of wanted to give a shout out to our host, GetStacked.com. They have been awesome for us, and I highly suggest anybody who needs a hosting, needs a website hosted to check them out. Their customer support is top notch.
Indeed.
We actually have the, I mean, we have several sites with them at this point. So, we actually talk to them directly over AOL Instant Messenger whenever we have a problem. And, you know, if there is a problem, it's always fixed right away.
Right.
And, he's got plans starting at like $6 a month. So anybody who is looking for someplace, getstacked.com, check them out. They're awesome.
Indeed. And by the way, this is completely unsolicited. He's really just been that good to us and
yeah.
the customer service mm-hmm. in particular. Top notch.
So, and you hear, Jason and I talk about Pocket Otaku every once in a while, and we've had, Pocket Otaku on Get Stacked for, like 3 or 4 years now. Mm-hmm. And, he actually donated server space for me, cause I was doing, Relay for Life, and I actually have a little bit of server space that he gave me for free for alpharettarelayforlife.org. And you know, we have a lot of people that we've suggested to them, and all of them have come away happy. So, yeah. We're really just doing this to let you guys know that if you need a hosting place, mm-hmm. GetStacked is where you go. GetStacked.com.
Right. I also wanted to take this time to mention that, if ever, you know, if anyone's in the need for like, you know, an energy drink and an alcoholic drink all in the same beverage, check out Sparks. It's a wonderful beverage. Many different varieties. Actually, well, there's three. There's like an orange, there's a light, and there's like a black label. I prefer the black. But yeah, you can check that out at sparks.com.
Crystal prefers
orange. Are you getting paid on the side, Jason?
In Sparks.
Are you sponsored?
I'm hoping to.
Send me a case.
They can pay him in cases of Sparks.
Yes.
But no, Crystal actually loves the orange one because it tastes just like orange soda.
I don't know. It tastes like Flintstone vitamins. I'm not a big fan of that.
Isn't necessarily bad.
They got an aftertaste that sits in the back of your gullet. They're not bad. I don't know.
Cool.
Stone vitamins.
Guys, you have any closing thoughts before we go?
I really did like blueberry, actually.
Yes. Well, you can still change your mind.
No. I'm gonna keep it official. I'm gonna stick with the group.
Just remember, change your mind, we'll be pretty angry. We'll shun you for a while.
You'll be fired, and we'll make fun of you.
Well, we'll do that anyway. Cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to get Metal Gear. Don't forget to send in your emails about Metal Gear. And until next week, I am Chris, and for Jason.
Me.
And
me.
Jeff.
See you later.
Take it easy.
Okay, bye.